for another Spanish-mabulous episode of...
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Michael Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs with security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington's Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For the contest rules, send a self-addressed dense envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
There are 8 different radio stations in this building, and they are all automated. I found the control room for the country station, and I just opened the microphone during the commercials, and I said...
First thing he said was, how you doing?
You could just turn the microphone on and go on the air. I said, hey, to hear something really good, turn on the Don and Mike Show at WZAN 970 right now.
Radio graffiti.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, go fist yourself, simple ass.
All right.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know if you fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, not that I ever wanted to leave, but we did finally make it out of Portland, Maine.
Hey, it's good to see you guys again.
Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. It's been a long time. Well, Golden Boy, I logged more time with them than you did.
Yeah. I understand.
A lot of time. But listen, that's why we got 4 hours a day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the man who was not our co-pilot on the original flight from Portland to Boston.
That is correct.
The son of God, nowhere in sight. Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Frankly, I'm surprised Phil is here.
Why?
He took a job with another radio show playing Scopey. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Logan and all the ships at sea.
Hey, what about the Widow Como?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, all right.
After a weekend of sitting with the Widow Como, here's Don Geronimo and Michael Matt.
There.
I wouldn't let you down.
The Widow Como. Kind of rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday, May the 14th, and well, what can I say? We went to Portland.
We did indeed.
We saw Portland, and we conquered Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
We conquered Portland, Maine, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night with the Las Vegas-style show at the old, decrepit State Theater.
You couldn't have gotten any more people in there with a shoehorn.
Mm-hmm. Nope. 1,700 people filled that joint, and there was a line outside with folks who couldn't get in. And to those who couldn't, our sincere apologies.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about that, and we always feel bad about it.
But we did have a great time on stage in Portland, and we just did the show. It was a good Las Vegas-style show because... there's no crap.
Right.
You know, nobody came out and said, you can't do this, and you can't do that. And right. I think we finally have got the pasties things for the girls' boobs.
Yeah, we've got it. It's finally seamless after how many years have we been doing the Las Vegas-style show?
About 5 years. We finally have got it down to, I mean, if we go to a place where girls can take the tops off and take the pants off,
They do it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But if we go to a place, they say they got to wear pasties and G-strings. Well, we've got them. We got great pasties now and great G-strings.
We have pasties that look like nipples.
When the first woman, I believe in our first segment, took her top off, and she had pasties on. Even I, standing up on that stage.
Right, you couldn't tell, could you?
I thought for a second, whoa!
Right.
Same here.
Thought it was Nipple City.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful, though.
Great show. Very nice people up in Portland, Maine. I'm very sad that your cousin, the dog catcher, didn't show up.
No, I never heard from him either. Haven't heard from him since. But then again, I haven't contacted either. And I know that eventually that we will email each other and discuss, all that stuff that was discussed, and it was great to be up there in New England. It was great to be back home again, Don. It really was.
And this Friday night we'll be in my neck of the woods,
mm-hmm,
at Ocean City, Maryland, where I expect all different varieties of people who are related to me in some way to make their way to the Rusty Rudder, where we're doing another Las Vegas style show Friday night.
That's we've had the schedule this spring.
Yes, we have.
We've been on that intense tour schedule, and it is kind of like doing a rock and roll show. When we bring our band of merry men into these theaters and we go into the little backstage areas and we see all the rock band graffiti on the wall, it's a weird experience.
No one really ever asks us to sign the wall, though.
Nobody ever asks us to sign anything. It's like, okay, what do you need? Do you get your booze?
Okay.
Go.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was at the show Friday night in Portland.
Portland.
Excellent show. Awesome job.
Yeah, we're waiting for
waiting for the other shoe to drop here?
No, I went over from Vermont, and just unbelievable.
You came all the way from Vermont?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, hey, you're worth it. Every second was just as good as you always hear after the show, people calling in and saying how great it is, and I'll tell you, if I could say it, I'd say it, but it's effing great.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's good. That's
no other shoe. No shoe dropping there.
Okay, good. There's no shoes. Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye. Well, how about that?
Well, that's a good very first review that we got there.
We
did have a good time. Everybody had a good time.
I felt like you did, though, that his tone would lead you to believe that there was going to be, hey, but
yes.
I had a great time, but hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. I was thinking maybe you could name your little intense tour and call it Damn It, Don and Mike Intense Tour.
Name our what?
Damn It, Don and Mike Intense Tour.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, our tour, I got you. Yeah. D-A-M-I-T.
The Damn It Tour.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How about those Sopranos last night?
Let's get to it. Hold on, we got other stuff. I didn't think it was a bad episode.
Okay. Better than the last three.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed overnight delight. Don and Mike Intense Tour. God damn it.
God damn it. Thank you, Rob. I thought the Sopranos was much better than the previous two or three weeks.
Yeah, big time.
In Us Magazine, apparently there's a rumor going on that Christopher's going to get whacked.
Well, that rumor's been out there for a while that someone on the cast is going to get whacked.
I want to say that I hope it's
Jackie Jr.
He shot Furio. You don't give him a free pass.
No. Listen, I loved last night the dynamic between Tony and Ralph,
right,
when basically they both want the other guy to kill Jackie Jr., where Tony was saying, you're the captain, whatever you decide, and Ralph would say, well, no, I work for you, whatever you like, and he says, no, it's your decision. Either way, Jackie Jr. is dead next Sunday, and that's a great development.
That is a fantastic development, and I also really enjoyed the subplot with Carm, who now, it appears, is just going to forego all the trappings of being a mafia wife, and is going to, well, she was reading the real estate book, she's going to go out on her own, I get the impression she will not accept any more blood money from Tony. She will live in the house, she will love him, but she will no longer accept the trappings of being Mrs. Soprano.
And she's spotting.
Yes.
She's spotting.
But she's okay, though, because she did get to the OBGYN.
But she's loving.
She's spotting.
Meadow, I'm spotting.
Meadow.
Do you have a tampon? Of course, Meadow is a walking tampon, for God's sake.
You know, I'll tell you, I could do an episode without Meadow and an episode without Jackie. Well, of course, I was glad the Jackie part was good with them trying to knock over the thing. But I could, where's Uncle June?
You know, I think very soon it's going to get back on track. I thought the first half hour last night was too much like
Dynasty.
Yeah. It was really, the first half hour, I was saying, okay, this is getting, and then
they turned it.
Stuff finally started to happen.
Then they turned the corner, and finally the Mercedes girl went nuts, and finally some people started getting shot, and Tony started getting pissed.
Smart move by Tony, though, sending out his underling to see the Mercedes girl, because, you see, she's got that death wish with Tony, where she doesn't care if he kills her, but you send another guy, and she got all flustered. And that's my new favorite. I don't know what his name is, but that's my new favorite mafia guy. He's very credible. That's like what you'd think they'd really be like.
Right. And do you guys think, Mike and I were talking about the ending of the show last night where they just showed the guy who threatened the Mercedes girl getting into his car. I thought the message that they were trying to send was that they're showing you the parallel, which is what I thought was great about The Sopranos for the first 2 years.
Yeah, right.
In the last scene, you see him holding a gun to the Mercedes girl's head saying,
right,
you go near Tony, you go near his kid, I'll kill you. This will be the last face you see.
Yep.
I'll kill you dead. And then in the next scene,
they'll be scraping your nipples off the leather upholstery is what he really said.
And in the next scene, he's coming out of a grocery store talking to his wife going, hey, you can microwave this stuff.
That's probably it, but it was a weird ending because you expected something more to happen, and when it just is one of those like third level characters, which is what that guy is. I'd like to see more of him.
I think
it was
he's Bobby
strange.
Parisi. Is that his name?
Isn't he the guy that was
his twin was killed?
His twin was
but
hit.
I think his name is
Tony.
Right.
Put a hit out on his twin.
But who's the guy with the glasses that got killed last night at the card game?
I think he was a throwaway character.
Yeah. He's been in. He was
really?
At the executive game. The time that Frank Sinatra Jr. played cards with them.
I know who the guy is in real life. He's a director, a famous director, and he's a world famous director. And I wish I remember what his name is. And he's you know when you get a name that you want. He's directed a lot of movies. He's been in a lot of cameos in certain films, but I don't think he's a regular character.
Well, they redeemed themselves last night. I was willing to if you had called me at about 9:20, I would have said, hey, this is over. I ain't watching it anymore. But that last half hour really got me back on the bandwagon.
You know, in the good old-fashioned mafia violence, which, the kids standing out in the street, hey, come on. And then they pop out.
You got to have that. Yeah, and Christopher just put the gun right up to his head.
Right.
And boom, boom.
But, I don't like Jackie Aprile, Jackie Jr. I haven't liked him from the very beginning.
Well, he'll be dead next Sunday.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. He's the one that's always online with the online chat. They're using him like a toilet. I wonder if they're really, because maybe, they did have the discussion about whether to give him a pass or not. So,
no, he's a dead man. Well, when Ralph went to talk to Jackie's mom,
right,
Ralph is setting the table up.
It sure seems like
that. He's going to be dead. I mean, the stuff about him doing drugs and we got to get
him. Or Jackie might kill Ralph.
Get him into rehab.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't kill Ralph. And incidentally.
And I like Ralph, too. They Joe Pants.
Here's my only complaint about Ralph.
What's that?
They've softened him up too much.
Yeah, well, they do that with these mafia characters.
I know
he's off the drugs that caused him to murder that girl. You see, so he's
put him back on the drugs then.
But you wait, he'll have his moment.
Sure.
He's real conflicted right now.
He's still not.
Because of Mama, he does have a soft spot for Mama, even though he's banging strippers.
Mama. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. Hi.
What a great time the other night.
Oh, are you up in Portland?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you for coming to the show.
Hey, no problem. How was that Cuban cigar I threw up to you?
Are you the guy that threw it on stage?
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't tainted with anything.
Oh, no.
No,
I took it out of the case because...
Oh, right. You threw me the Cuban cigar out of the metal tube.
Well,
No, you
would think it was a pipe bomb or something.
No, it was great. Thank you for the cigar and everybody that was important. I mean, normally we come back from these shows and we bitch about something that went wrong.
No, it was a great crowd that we had in the State Theater. And you might find this hard to believe. I actually did some personal surveying of the audience members because after the show was over, I went to an Irish bar. And there were people. It seemed to be populated with a lot of the people that had gone to see our show. And, goodwill and a good time was had by all.
Saturday morning, you looked about as dead as Jackie Jr. is going to be.
I tell you that I don't feel much worse than that. It's a combination of too much Friday night and one of those 5 a.m. awakening times.
Yeah.
That'll do it to you every single time.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, I think Jackie is already dead. Because you remember how his mom, they had the scene with his mom where she was all crying because he's not coming home and she don't know why? And you remember Mike, your new favorite gangster? In the last scene of the show, all they focused on was his trunk, right after that scene where his mom was crying. I think Jackie's in the trunk. Hey, what do they do? Do you think they got to hang on to him and kill him? I mean, why do you...
No, Jackie's running away.
Jackie is hiding from
Tony. But if he was in the trunk of that other guy, then Tony would know about it because that guy's on Tony's crew now. Right?
You mean, are you talking about the guy that threatened the Mercedes girl?
Yeah.
No,
last thing in the movie, all they did was show him all smiling and driving away, and they just kept showing
Positive. They're showing the contrast.
It was a weird scene. It was a scene that makes you think, and I don't know why they showed his trunk
like that. Did you think like me?
I thought Jackie was in the trunk.
Did you think like me that maybe that car was going to blow up?
Something, I felt like something was
going on.
Like maybe the Mercedes girl was going to blow his car up or something?
Well, no, I just was thinking, the one they were showing that trunk, and after it just showed the mom all crying.
And whatnot.
You know,
all right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, but that first half was very Dynasty. It reminded me, as a matter of fact, of the Dynasty episode where Joan Collins was plotting. Which was the plot for almost every episode of Dynasty.
It always gets back to spotting, you know. Knots Landing, lots of spotting on that. Dallas, a lot of the original spotting, you know, from Charlene Tilton on that.
Meadow, I'm spotting. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I have the name of the gentleman that was shot last night in The Sopranos.
Carm was making art in her underpants last night.
Who was that guy? He's a director.
Paul Mazursky.
Paul Mazursky.
Okay. Yeah,
famous director.
Thank you. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Great news, Don and Mike.
What's that?
I'm now doing my morning show at night.
You get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I wanted to show the difference in last night's episode from the previous week.
All right, go ahead.
The director. Last night was a Van Patten episode. The week before was Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, you know,
you're right.
Night and day.
You're right. It's in the genes.
It shows.
Yeah, last week was so weird with all the cold. That's a Buscemi favorite theme.
You know, the one thing, though, sometimes Dr. Melfi... You know, I will just go, when you get Dr. Melfi heavy in the first half, then you have like a good moment, like when they have the conflict between Tony and the Mercedes lady, and then they go back to Dr. Melfi, and you could almost hear the sigh of people going, oh, enough, where he's got to go, you know, how many appointments does he have a week?
Two things with Melfi. First, you know, tell Tony about the rape. Don't leave that unresolved.
Yeah.
And second, you know she wants to bang Tony.
That plot line about the rape, I think, is long gone. I don't think you'll ever get that. I know you want that. You want Tony to go find the guy and whack him. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
And that could be the catalyst for Tony getting together with Dr. Melfi.
Right.
Where she's grateful that he's taking Kowal. At the same time, she's conflicted.
They want each other so bad. And they're going to get together once Carm wigs out. And starts, wearing no makeup.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yeah, Carm needs the makeup.
She does.
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes.
Hey, I'm calling from Portland.
Hi there.
Hey, I had a blast on Friday night.
Oh, glad to hear it. Thank you, my friend.
I couldn't believe how crazy the crowd was.
Really?
I was on the, which would be your left-hand side up on the balcony up there.
I remember.
Not the balcony, but this little terrace there.
Mm-hmm.
There was guys going crazy, brawling.
You were about the third row, weren't you?
I was up like where there's tables.
Yeah.
Because, Mike, you memorize everybody in the crowd.
Everyone.
Every face.
There are 1,700 faces that I've committed to memory.
Amazing. Well, glad you had a good time. It was a good crowd.
It was, but there was this guy that was so drunk, he was drinking four beers at the same time. And he just started swinging punches at everybody that was standing anywhere near him. And
hey, I'm sorry, okay? I had a good time.
Well, it was still fun. I was in shock. I was floored. I was like, what is this guy's problem?
I fight. Come on now.
Mike.
You know, let it go.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Do you think they're kind of getting ready to set up a who shot J.R. ending for The Sopranos?
No, you know, I think I had said that a couple of weeks ago, that I thought, well, there's no doubt now that if they wanted to have someone kill Tony or attempt to kill Tony, you've got the Mercedes girl.
Right.
You've got Jackie Jr. You've got Christopher, who's mad at Tony.
Mm-hmm.
They showed that next week you're going to have Paulie Walnuts say to him, hey, I want to sit down.
Right.
You know, you've got a variety of people who could take a shot at Tony.
And I think when you see a good
episode. Oh, yeah, and the Russians.
Mm-hmm. When you see a good episode last night, you want to watch the previews of Coming Attractions. And the previews of Coming Attractions looked like crap. They did not encourage me for next week. I think we're going to have more loose ends, more unfinished business, and that will be a ripoff. I will not be happy about it. Because what? We wait till... After
the Super Bowl, I think.
Ridiculous.
After the Super Bowl. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
This is Dave from Portland.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
We had a great time Friday night.
Ah, glad to hear it.
I have to know, though. Dawn?
Yes?
Did you tip a few too many?
Did I tip a few too many?
Yeah. I swear there were a couple of times you were walking diagonal on the stage.
Oh, no, I was doing my moonwalking.
Is that what that was?
I think we should tell you, sir, that we talk about drinking, you know, during our Las Vegas-style shows, but no drinking actually goes on.
No, that's a joke.
It's a myth.
Right. That's part of the show.
Only Wendell drank then that night.
Oh. Wendell did drink. Wendell.
Yes, he did.
Wendell went through, like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Wendell had... Mike's drink of choice is this whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
And Mike was drinking it out of a small, medium-sized, rather small
cocktail glass.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Wendell had, I guess you not, like a malted glass.
A tumbler.
You know, like a big milkshake glass that you would get, like if you go to Friendly's or something like that.
I find it frightening to see that size glass with that substance in
the
bowl.
Yeah. And full all the way up. And how many times did Wendell say, I need a bendy straw?
Yeah.
If I just had a bendy straw, I could drink more.
You know, that Jameson's actually comes in bottles smaller than the serving that Wendell was having.
Yes, exactly.
And not a lot of ice.
It was a tumbler.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know how when you nurse the second whiskey?
Comes.
Oh, there he is.
There
it gets sort of watery looking.
That's what
like strong iced tea. This was a strong brew.
Hey, Bendy Strong.
God damn it, you mean that wasn't iced tea? I knew there was something funny about
when he was
that.
Judging the show, he never looked at one of the guys. He looked in the audience the entire time. But he took
I left
that
to the ladies.
Well, that's because, first, Wendell's homophobic. But that's all right. We love him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And second, you know, Wendell's not into judging guys dancing around naked.
Exactly, no.
Good man.
Good man.
Well, we had a great time.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
All right. See ya. There goes Wendell.
Testing!
Did your case of Grey Goose there make it home all right?
It did not follow me home.
No.
Well, I don't know where that went. Somebody probably took that home.
Being shipped, I believe.
I don't know. It never followed me home. Rob did get stopped at the airport in Boston because he had beer in his bag.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to tell you about our trip back. I mean, this is going to take a while to get through the trip coming back.
What? You should have transported your beer the way that I did.
What, in your stomach?
In my belly!
Yeah, apparently at Logan they've got a trouble in customs or whatever the inspection is if you have a 12-pack in your carry-on.
You had a 12-pack in your carry-on?
I did. It was great, by the way.
It was the free beer that we had in our room.
It was really good.
You know him.
Yeah.
If it's free, take all the soaps.
It was this kind of stuff, though, right? It's all that pale ale and stuff like
that. You would have hated it.
Uh-huh.
I know the beer you like.
Listen to us.
My beer.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, did y'all hear the good news?
What's that?
He's risen. I figured y'all need something from that bitch Janice in there and that energetic character she's been sleeping with.
What? Come again, please?
What are you talking about, sir?
Oh, you know, that goofy guy that Janice is shacked up with, and that's all he ever says is, have you heard the good news? He's risen.
Do you mean the guy with narcolepsy, the guy that falls asleep?
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the episode last night.
Oh, I know, but it ain't been off, and I figured I could catch you on a slow one.
I'll get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Where do people get...
How does
the mind work?
Oh, no.
Hi.
How you doing?
Is this the original How You Doing guy?
No.
How you that?
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Hey, that.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Hey, that.
All right, is there anything else you'd like to say right now?
Hey, that.
How you doing? How you doing, guy?
Hey, that.
All right, what else you want to say?
Hey, that. Hey, that.
Now, say something else. Come on.
How you doing?
I don't know if it's the same guy.
No, listen, do it in the original way that you used to do it all the time.
Hey, that.
Well, come on.
It's not.
Ain't it?
I could make a case that it's not the original.
I think it is the original How You Doing, guy.
Ain't it?
It is the original?
Yeah, it's the original How You Doing, guy. He calls me every day, so we still have conversations.
The original.
And that's all he says is, how you doing?
Everybody's got this.
How you doing, look, babe?
Ain't it?
You got excited when Lisa came in here.
Sure. How you doing?
Ain't it?
What else can we do for you?
How you doing?
I myself like it when he keeps it to the short.
How you doing?
Hey.
Not like that.
Hey.
Yeah, that's closer to that.
Hey. Nice whispering.
Excuse me, you're turning it down. Turn the volume up a little bit.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye. How you doing, guy?
Hey, Dad.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Poor you.
Boy, that stops Tony in his tracks, doesn't it?
Does. And if they have one more person say that to Tony, I'm really going to go nuts. Didn't the Mercedes girl say it to him last
night?
Yeah,
right. You know, and of course we get the mother flashback.
Oh, poor you.
I'm just glad somebody got shot in the head last night.
Hey, I think Jackie's going to be back next week. He's in the preview of Coming Attractions. And question for you guys, does Meadow have a black eye?
Noah?
Huh?
Meadow, I think he's.
Meadow. Does Meadow have a black eye in the Coming Attraction?
I don't know. I hope so.
Didn't catch that.
God, I hope so.
All right, thank you.
Meadow have a cold?
Hello, it's Don and Mike show. What? Hello?
Have we had a chance to say happy Monday, everybody?
You know, I believe this is my broker calling and giving us the update on the CBS Viacom stock.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's easy at the beginning there.
Hey, yeah. There. It's always up, then it's down. All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I heard read on the internet that Tony gets blown up.
Well, if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true.
Must be it.
Oh, it's got to be. They did an interview with him, and he said that he wasn't happy with his character, that he's too mean of a character, and he wants to change.
Yes, thank you. Well said. I got to tell you something about the internet. Let me see if my funny, cunny honey's at home. All right. Happy Mother's Day. The girl of my dreams, who I don't think is figured out yet. What Bart and I did to her computer yesterday.
Did a little something funny. A
little funny business?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, sweetie.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
Belated. Was a good one. They worked out great.
Good.
Have you been by your computer?
I can't go in the kitchen.
Oh, that's right. Guys are tearing up the floor in our kitchen today.
Well, no, they're re-polyurethaning it.
Well, you know how when you get email... Your computer makes that noise?
Yeah.
What's that noise that it makes?
It's like a, I don't know. You know what? That isn't that stupid that I can't tell you because...
Ki-dun. Yeah, it's close to that.
Ki-dun.
It's like a little doorbell.
It's
right.
Close to that, yes. Well, Bart and I got on the computer yesterday, and we changed it.
Ah. Yeah.
So now when you get email now...
Neither one of you are allowed to play with my computer.
Well, actually... I can't, I mean, I had the idea, but I can't say that I know how to do it. Because
right, exactly. But that's what makes me mad. That computer in the kitchen was supposed to be just for me, and now you both sit your big butts there and use it more than I do.
So yesterday, I was showing Bart, if you go to www.donandmikefans.com, that's the site that had our webcast,
mm-hmm.
You could actually go to the Pete Johnson page, where you see a picture of Pete. And if you have a soundboard on your computer, if you have real audio, you can click on each of these clips, and you can actually hear Pete say...
His horrible things?
All of the things that he's going to say.
Right.
And I said to Bart, I said, it would be great if we could figure out a way for Mom to hear that when she turned on the computer. And Bart said, no, even better, how about whenever she gets email? And I said, great, do it. Go ahead.
All right, fine. You know what? I'm going to sit here and work on your computer today.
So
I'm
going
to put me and my mom and all those kind of greetings and little reminders that you love so much whenever you check your email.
So now, whenever you get email, this is what you're going to hear.
Go, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
And Bart and I yesterday, happy Mother's Day, we're like a couple of mental patients, just pushing the button over and over again on the computer just to hear this. And the thought that eventually when Frida gets email when she's in the kitchen.
Well, usually you hear that no matter what's going on. When you hear the pee, dude. So if you replace that, the workmen that are in there polyurethaning are probably hearing this all
Go,
day.
Go, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
I think that you and your son have discovered the true meaning of Mother's Day.
We did.
Practical jokes on Mom.
We did. Oh, come on. You had a great Mother's Day. And I love you.
Yeah, because I wasn't here.
Well, you were at your mom's house.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that now listen, that wasn't my choice. That was your choice.
No, I know, but you're taking credit for a great Mother's Day, and I didn't spend it with you.
And you're
all I've got was the hungover man on Saturday to celebrate with. We couldn't even go out to eat.
Oh wait, now we had the beautiful gift.
Yeah.
Come on, we had the beautiful gift, and be honest now, this whole thing, you know, with your family, that's your family's thing.
No, I know. I went down to be with my mom, and that was good because...
And your sister went to be with her mom and left her husband at home also.
Yeah, that's true, too, but that's neither here nor there. The point...
Well, it is here nor there.
Saturday, we were supposed to celebrate Mother's Day, and you were too tired from grueling travel, and I'm hearing on the radio maybe a little alcohol-induced exhaustion on Saturday.
Not at all. When I came home Saturday, when I saw you, I was right on top of things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Energetic, ready to go.
Ready to take the world on.
Right. Uh-huh. That's why I had to go get our nice dinner Saturday night, and I had to serve our nice dinner Saturday night and watch a movie with you in which you fell asleep in front of the TV.
Well, who wouldn't fall asleep during Miss Congeniality?
I know, but you really weren't my most exciting date.
Well, honey, I tried my hardest. I tried my damnedest.
Well, that's pretty lame.
All right, I love you, sweetie.
All right, goodbye, boo-boo.
Hey, how about some love?
Yeah, I love you.
Well, now, wait, what do you mean you love me?
Well, I don't like you messing with my computer. I've asked you.
Oh, is that what this is about?
No, and then I'm cleaning out the storage area just listening, and I'm realizing, okay, maybe you weren't just exhausted from travel on Saturday. Maybe a little bit of alcohol kind of messed up your sleep pattern Friday night.
Yeah, right. No, actually, I went back to the hotel after the show.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this. I was back at the hotel by midnight, up at 5 a.m., and then you know everything that happened the rest of the time on Saturday.
And you had nothing to drink Friday night?
I had a drink Friday. I told you that I had a drink Friday night.
A drink.
I had a drink.
A drink at a time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's what I thought.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, boo.
All right. Goodbye. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, you know what? See, she's... I can't even get into things behind the scenes. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Frieda and her family that I can't get into as for why it was not the best Mother's Day we've ever celebrated.
Well, they come and they go.
Yes.
You'll have another chance next year.
Yes, I will.
That's the good thing about Mother's Day.
I do know that I was ready, willing, and able.
Right.
But, you know, and it really was nothing to do with the Vucho-rama. It had much more to do with other things going on in my wife's family and the fact that, well, we had the Charlie Broyhill show at the airport on Saturday morning. Oh, and yeah.
I have never heard... In your travel experiences, a Charlie Broyhill show, I can't begin to tell you how excited I am to hear what perhaps he did.
Well, you'll hear that and say, well, how was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day, all the advice that you doled out to me on Friday, due to the fact that, you know, it was a late night on Friday night, and I'm a person of convenience, and it didn't work out. I wasn't able to get the picnic and do the gourmet thing, but I did get very lucky when I came home. I was driving through. I talked to my wife when I got back from the airport, and fortunately, my plane trip from Portland to Washington D.C. was an hour and 50 minutes. It was 10 minutes early. I got in 10 minutes early
because you are the golden boy. What do you hear? What happened to us on the mule train coming back from Portland?
I was very, very pleased to get in early, and my wife has mentioned, I think, on a couple of occasions she wanted a new pair of sunglasses. And the great thing about National Airport is they have a real sunglass hut right in there, only the difference is the sunglasses hut has also, like, watches and things like that. And so right in front of me, the sunglasses I knew she wanted, the watch... I figured maybe not. Really hit or miss. And it turned out when I gave it to her that she really wanted the watch. And I had purchased
both gifts at the airport. But the good thing about some airports, most of them this is not the case, some airports now have real stores in them, which means you...
Not the one in Portland, Maine.
The one in Portland, Maine, I think you could get maybe a lobster key tag. And that would
now, you could buy a live lobster.
Yes, you could.
We know, because we spent 3 hours in that airport on Saturday morning.
But what happened was I talked to my wife, and she was she's doing one of these big projects, which I enjoy her doing. She's building a retaining wall in the backyard, and we're going to move our shed, which is really not a shed. It's really kind of a nice little, it looks kind of like a little small little house, but you can move it on one of those lifts.
Yeah.
And we're going to move it to a different area and make it kind of like a backyard storage house. And she's building a retaining wall, and she was complaining about the rototiller, this cheesy little rototiller that she got. And so I went into downtown Hooterville, where I know they sell these rototillers, and I see this rototiller, and I walk up, and I look at the thing, I'm like, hey, this is going to be perfect. And I walk up to the rototiller, and I said, this will be great. You know, she's been complaining about this road. And then I see the thing is $1,112.
Well,
we killed that. I mean, it's Mother's Day.
Sure, yeah. Killed that.
It's Mother's Day.
Right.
Not Christmas.
No.
It's not her birthday, although not her birthday is coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm totally clueless about that, too. I have no idea.
Buy the rototiller.
Well, no, I mean, it's not worth it, you say. I mean, that's the real reason. The rototiller was not worth that exorbitant price that was on this road. It really looked a lot like the one that we got for $200 that's breaking all the time. So I'm not going to do this. However, and this was just, as I'm going through town in Hooterville, there's this little lady that sets up this little flower stand, and she's got these huge vases of petunias that are just in full blossom, and they're like spraying all over these vases. And I go in and I buy two of these things, and then I take them home. I get them out of this is before I've even walked through the door. I get them out and I put the two petunias on either side of the walkway, and they looked perfect there. I take out the little lantern thing she's got there, and I walk through and I say, hey, come on out to the front. And, you know, maybe my wife's not a difficult woman to please,
golden boy.
The petunias were an overwhelming hit.
Right.
The petunias were an overwhelming hit. This is Saturday. You know, I'm going to be there all weekend. I know your wife was planning to go down to the beach on Sunday. I had to be responsible for both days. But the gift presentations took place on Saturday, and she loved the little watch I got her. She loved the sunglasses, and she liked the petunias. So already I'm batting a thousand.
You did so much better than me, and after I lectured you
on
Friday for 20 minutes about how to do it right.
Well, to be honest with you, I was in no condition to.
I ended up effing it up myself on Saturday.
I was in no condition to do anything really elaborate. I was doing the best I could, and because the plane got in early.
I hate to keep saying that. Of course you're playing. Listen, this is going to make sense. You're going to know why we're so upset in a minute.
Look at how mad he is. Yeah.
When we tell you, not only
all of us.
Look at Rob, Buzz, and especially Charlie Broyhill mad.
I know. Well, you know, I tried for a while to do travel arrangements for the group, and now I just do them for myself. So that's the way it's going to have to be.
For Golden Boy.
But Sunday was a different story. Sunday. I said, what do you want to do? I said, do you want to go fancy? And she said, no, I don't want to go fancy. She said, I want to spend the day with the girls, you and the girls. There's several places I want to go. And I swear to God, she said one of the places she wanted to go with me was Home Depot. This is a place she goes all the time, and I don't go to Home Depot. I don't like Home Depot. I got fired from a hardware store when I was a kid. I don't like those experiences. Yeah. There's nothing I like about Home Depot. And so she wanted to do that, and we were going to go out to breakfast. And we were going to go to this place way out in the country, this just little breakfast place. And we get up. It's about 9 o'clock, 9:15. We drive to this breakfast place, and it is nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I'm remembering she wanted also one thing. She wanted me not to complain. Not to complain about Northern Virginia, which is really one of my habits that I complain about it all the time. The gross overpopulation. The fact that everybody in this area does everything at the exact same time. And so we go to this place and they're spilling out, you know, with all the little carnations and all the BS. They're spilling out onto the sidewalk. And one of the nice things is we're not going to wait. You know, it's not like she has to go to this place. Breakfast is breakfast. And really, breakfast is breakfast.
This is what I don't understand about breakfast.
So it's back in towards town again, and we go to where some of the finer chains for breakfast are. So at this time, it's 9:30. The kids are hungry. My wife's hungry. I'm hungry. We drive. We get to a place that we frequent, Bob Evans. Bob Evans has out in front of it probably 35 to 40 people.
God.
And there are people sitting there, and once again, we drive. We don't need the car. I think maybe I averaged 25 miles an hour through the parking lot. We didn't even brake. You know, we just kept going because it's just... And everybody with the same look on their face. Everybody's just kind of like...
Yeah, sure. Well, it's Bob Evans on Mother's Day.
Let me tell you this right now. Nothing... Nothing will touch the next place we went to. It was a place we had never been to. Now, I've been to the Old Country Buffet. I've been to the Great American Buffet. I have been to the finest dining establishments in the area.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this right now. Nothing will ever touch the Cracker Barrel. For my misery. We went to the Cracker Barrel. Rob, I swear to God, you would have thought that there was a Redskins game there. It was effing ridiculous. Don't you have to be 65 to get into a Cracker Barrel? We go in there, and the first thing we see are these two women. I mean, collectively, we were talking about at minimum 600 pounds, okay? When you put them together, they're sitting there. And they have their books. And now one of the things with a Cracker Barrel is they've got the big chairs, rocking chairs out in front on this, like, sure, ye olden porch.
Right.
And it's got a store there. And I see this, and I said, well, let's just take a look. Let's see what's going on. And we walk in. I've never seen, you literally couldn't move. It's got all the gift shops where they're selling the cheese logs and the peanut butter and whatever the crap they're selling. I've never been to this place, and there was a woman out on a bench that I think was probably designed for three. Now, you had the two women,
right,
who were reading, you know, reading with their books, like, okay, this is regular business, okay?
This is standard practice.
It's good living. Sunday morning, you're sitting at the Cracker Barrel reading your book. I will not, you know, I'm not saying this because I'm being a snob. I'm saying I won't wait in line for something I could make in my own kitchen in 5 minutes. It's breakfast. We're not talking about any. It's right. All the same. Now, there are varying degrees. Some of it's better than others. I understand. But it's basically the same. It's pancakes and eggs.
So
everywhere you go.
Did you take your wife to the Cracker Barrel?
We walked in, and my wife finally has a look on her face, which is just, we give each other the exact, we're very similar in this regard. You know, absolutely no way. We walk out. We walk by the woman who was sitting on the bench for four people and taking two-thirds of it up and had her prescription bottle in her hand, which is probably like, you know, Fat Whacker or something like that. I have no idea what the hell it was.
Whatever it is,
it was a great product, I'm sure. We got out of here, and then a golfing buddy sees me. It's like, hey, happy Mother's Day. We waited for an hour. And I'm like, yeah. Oh. And I said something. This is when I'm starting. The one thing I'm doing for my wife is I'm not having the normal kind of like complaining meltdown that I would normally have in these situations. I'm trying to really go, hey, I'm really sorry. I said, I should have maybe made a reservation somewhere. We wouldn't have to go through this, but she's very pleased. She's not bun, and I'm very grateful that the mood maintained, but I'm starting to lose it a little bit because I can't. This is the third place we've been to, and the people outside going,
all the mouth breathers.
You know, and I got two little kids, so I mean, we take them out to breakfast. That's what, you know, they dig that. They like that. But I'm not going to stand for an hour so I can get scrambled eggs that you know, everybody else is eating. It's BS.
So that's BS. What'd you do?
We went down. We have one more place. So there's one more place way on the other side of town that's just a regular diner. And we walk in, and it's empty. Not really empty, but there were, for this place on a Sunday, it was virtually empty. There were probably 10 parking spaces, and so I just put the car into, you know, I just step on it. It's going on two wheels into this. I said, get out, I'll drop you off here. Get in line. We walk in, and as I walk in, they're seating our family.
Wow.
And we had, you know, in probably 40 minutes, we had a very nice breakfast. And then it was right down near this nursery that my wife wanted to go to with all these plants. And she walked around the nursery, and then we got back home, went to Home Depot, and I basically went to bed for the rest of the day. and she was very pleased that, and then I went out when I came to later in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I went out and bought steaks for the grill, and I cooked dinner, and it was actually a very successful, at least I'm told. You know, it's the kind of thing where I kind of wait for the other shoe to drop. Either my wife is, you know, very happy with everything, or perhaps at a later date, you know, it'll be like, you took me to the diner for Mother's Day. But I think she just wanted to spend the day with the family. That's what she wanted.
Well, see, that's what I can't figure out about my wife, because when I left today, one of the last things she said to me was, thank you for being so nice this weekend. Thank you for handling everything this weekend. Because she had this family situation up at the beach.
I think Mother's Day has become a bigger holiday for guys to toe the line. I think it's just we're all the same. I saw a million guys that were doing the same thing I was doing. There was this one guy at this plant store, this nursery, walking around smoking a cigarette, just with a look on his face that he wouldn't have been there.
No, of course not.
On any other day, but Mother's he was there day. Just doing, and it was, you know, everybody was in the same boat, and we logged a little time at Target, which was cool.
Of course.
There you go. Logged a little time at Target. It was fantastic. It was very, very, very pleasant. And then I got home, and everything worked out very well. Watched The Sopranos. That's how the, what a day. To bed, what a day. We actually stayed up real late watching movies last night.
That's how the date ended, huh?
It was good. It was really, really good. I hope, you know, it was so good that I hope that my wife's being square with me, that she, you know, wasn't disappointed.
I'm sure she is.
No, I bet, you know, your wife was the winner this year. Apparently, according to my wife.
Petunias did it. The two vases of petunias that I placed on the walkway for outside.
Hello.
I think my wife is laying it on a little bit on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
What's
up?
What? What happened between when I left the house today and when I got here today?
Well, I really didn't, you know, idiot that I am, you think I'm 20 years, I'd know. I really didn't know Saturday the reason why you were tired. It was like a giant light bulb went off. And, yeah, it was a pretty sucky evening Saturday.
Okay, can I just tell you for a second that I was not bombed out of my mind on Friday night?
Okie doke.
And that I did go to bed relatively early.
Well, that hasn't. That doesn't mean anything. You couldn't stay up, you know, late, you know, particularly if you had a drink. That's impossible.
And I did get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning.
Right.
And did have all that crap at the airport.
Okay.
All I know is that when I left the house today, you said to me, "Hey, really, thanks. You were great this weekend. Thanks for doing everything. Thanks for handling everything."
I said, "Thanks for holding down the fort on Sunday."
Yes.
Right.
That's what you said. You seemed happy. You seemed pleased.
Well, I didn't know that you and Bart were doing a private, you know, were messing with my computer, which I really do not care
all
for.
All right. So that, what is that at the heart of it?
And also the other thing, both of those things, neither one of which enthralled me.
Okay. Well, you know, I know you've got other issues going on right now.
Not with you. Those are them.
I know those are with them, but I get the feeling that they're spilling over.
Well, no, you're wrong, my sugar bear.
Okay.
All right. Okay, goodbye.
Love you. She loves me, too, even though she divorced me. She loves me, too.
She's going through a thing with her family
that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Right.
So.
Sure.
Suffice to say.
Yeah, of course.
Hello, everybody.
Everything will be just fine.
Happy Monday.
But I guess you guys had a little rougher travel situation than I had.
We had. Okay, when we come back, listen, I don't know how long it's going to take us to tell you everything bad that happened to us.
Right.
But for one time while we're traveling, we will not be talking about The Buzz Show.
I've been preempted.
We will be talking about...
Oh, wow, and you know about this, too.
Yeah,
huh?
Oh, sure. The first time ever appearance of The Charlie Broyhill Show.
Yeah.
Really? I know you took a separate flight back from Portland, and that you made it back 5 hours before we did, but it almost would have been worth it for you to be with us on Saturday.
Boy, you are whetting my appetite right now.
To see the events that we saw both in Portland and in Boston.
It was wild.
On Saturday,
really?
With the Charlie Broyhill Show.
Fascinating.
Yeah, listen, we'll get to that in just a moment.
I mean,
what a show.
Oh, wow.
Just say that. What a show.
A little too much weekend?
A combination of a little too much weekend.
Stress get to him finally?
Well, you
I'm just trying to,
you
I'm
could,
trying to paint the picture. I think
you could say that.
Okay.
You could say there was a little air rage.
Oh.
At work.
Wow.
You could say that. Let's clear the lines. You're going to call our 100. We'll come back and tell you about the Charlie Broyhill Show.
Oh, fantastic.
From our travel day on Saturday. Now here's your chance to win $500 with the secret sound at 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now, and we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike show.
I'm going steady. I'm going steady. And I spread. And I spread. Yeah.
Well, everybody says well, everybody that. Says
yeah,
that.
The daddy yeah. says I'm the best daddy.
Then let's make it this one. The Don and Mike show.
Oh, that tape reminds me. At some point today, we got to discuss that show that was on after The Sopranos last night.
The show that you couldn't stand it after 50 minutes. I didn't even choose to watch it because I got two daughters.
It was disturbing.
Highly disturbing. It looked like it would have been highly disturbing.
It was like about these white trash JonBenet families where they make the little girls dress up in beauty pageants like when they're 18 months old. And I had to turn it off. The one dirtbag, I think he was a stepfather. The dude that was riding the bicycle?
I didn't watch. I was like Mike. I mean, because having a daughter, I had no interest in seeing it.
Yeah.
But I did see the promo where they had a 5-year-old
right.
flashing like a 2-piece like bathing suit.
Yeah.
The most really.
Oh.
I mean,
the most
saying,
disturbing thing I think I've ever seen.
Honey,
in my life.
Sexy is good.
Right. Oh.
Sexy is good, honey.
I mean, those people like they better jail them.
Yes, they should.
They got
that, and that's the whole reason. See, the Ramseys don't realize why. Everybody thinks they did it. Everybody thinks they did it because of what they did with their kid.
It was disturbing, but I did watch, well, maybe 20 minutes.
You know, if I didn't have daughters, I probably would have logged some time with it, too. It's a daughter thing. You see those kids that are 5 years old and these idiots that are making them up and putting wigs on it.
Oh, seen the trailer trash dressing them up. Come on now, be sexy. Yeah. Come on, be sexy.
Mm.
Grown man riding a bicycle to work, riding his little kid's bike to work because the mom was using the car to take the kid out to the JonBenet pageant.
Just really twisted.
Yeah,
people. I mean, hello. You know, I think it's really bad stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
This is Alvin.
Alvin, listen, you're the 100th caller, Alvin.
I am.
Yes, where are you calling from?
I'm calling, I'm actually on 495.
Beautiful. Alvin, oh, here you go. You want a DVD copy of the classic movie, Somewhat Hit Hot. Oh, super, with Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis.
And Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
Pick up your special edition DVD today at Tower Records.
It's super.
That's a super prize.
It's that thing.
That's really super.
Some Like It Hot.
That's awesome.
Now you're going to play for $500 in the secret sound, and we have all kinds of clues for you. Rob's clue, which was worthless, was a hardware store. Mike's clue was automobile.
Right.
Followed by ring.
Yeah.
And then did I have?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Metal. Okay. Automobile, ring, metal, hardware store.
You know, it wasn't ring, it was round.
It was circle, was actually
a clue.
Well, then I may have already given it away.
So now there's actually another clue.
There's another clue.
I don't know if the ring is the right clue. I think round is the best clue.
Identify the sound, and I got it. Identify the sound and win $500.
You think you got it, Mike?
Uh-huh. Hello?
Hold on.
Hold on, Mike's writing something down.
One moment, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because I'm a dope.
As soon as the biggest idiot in the room gets it when it comes to this game.
But wait a minute, hold on.
When it comes to this game.
Still even money, though. This guy on the phone doesn't get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure. All right, we'll play you the sound now. Identify it. Win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings. Like.
Gary Como.
Caller, name this sound.
I can't believe what an idiot I am. Circle, ring, whatever. If we give away the money, it's courtesy Main Street Title.
It's impossible.
Yeah!
The late Gary Como.
All right, for $500. What is... Oh, there's Perry. There he goes. For $500, what's that sound?
Take your time.
Shoes.
How much?
What?
Hello?
Yes, what's the sound?
I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, come on. I just played it on the telephone.
I just played it.
Hello?
What is your problem?
I didn't get to hear it.
You did? What? Why aren't you paying attention?
Here it is again. There it is. What is it?
Zip it.
Zipper.
Zipper. Zipper. No, it's not a zipper.
Where are you calling from?
I'm on the road.
No.
Pretty fast.
What town?
Alexander.
Alexandria or Alexander?
Alexandria.
Alexandria.
Are you from this country originally?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you. Don't forget that every guest...
It's a clue for you.
Don't F yourself, douchebag.
Okay, and the money is safe. Even with my incredible stupidity, the money is safe.
You know when the cat's really out of the bag, though, when I dive on it.
Do you have a buzz?
Yes, yes, I do.
Write it down. Let me see if you got it.
Have you had it before, Buzz? Did you have
yes.
it before?
Yeah.
You got to be more specific, but yeah, that's okay. it. Yeah.
What do you mean you had it before? Did you show it to him and have it before?
No, he didn't.
No. No.
So, I mean, technically, if we're just being technical...
Mike had it first.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you can have this one.
Okay, thank you.
Well... It's important to me.
If you did have it, Buzz, you should have written it down and let us know.
Buzz, when I get them, I normally... I think I did legitimately have it before you did.
Yes, yes, you did.
He is terrible.
He's patronizing me like nobody patronizes.
No, 100%
this is yours.
Patronizing you.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 Hi.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Steve from Maine calling.
Hello, Steve.
How you doing? Great show Friday night, guys.
Thanks.
And I just want to say, I wanted to pick you up in my car, take you over to the bar, and drink some beer.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
But, you know, we couldn't do that.
That's our idea.
No, okay. Because somebody already had way too much. You know, I mean, I was kind of embarrassed for you, actually, you know?
Oh, this guy's just a ball buster.
I was kind of embarrassed for you guys. I was just sitting there.
I bet you weren't even at the show.
Yeah, I was. I was up in the balcony.
You were up in the balcony.
Really, what happened at the show?
Oh, there was a fight.
No. What happened at our show? What did we do?
Oh, actually, there was one girl, a former employee here, who had his wife up on the stage. Who?
You're not telling us what happened at the show.
What do you mean?
Which would indicate
intoxicated in the fight out front, and
I
had another friend of mine who was in the bear line who.
Telling us anything that happened at the show.
Yeah, I see. That would indicate that you're lying.
What are you guys doing? What are you doing?
You weren't at the show.
Yeah, I was.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Tell us something that happened while we were on stage.
On stage.
A friend of mine told me, though.
Okay. So you are lying. You're a liar.
I'm a liar.
Of course you are.
Of course you're a liar.
I'm from Maine. Of course I'm a liar.
No, you know something? Most people from Maine are all right, but they ought to throw you out of the state.
Well, they do.
All right, get out of here.
I have a difficult time.
Get out of here.
It's tough. It's a difficult...
Oh, come on, you effing liar. Get out of here. You're just trying to give me trouble with my wife.
Well, I mean, that's all I heard. The guy came in this morning. He had VIP tickets. I asked him how it went.
Please.
And he goes, Dawn was so drunk. It was embarrassing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and I'm
going to
believe you now.
He said, by 10 o'clock, Mike had to carry you up.
Well, that's a lie. Now he is
fantasy.
Johnny Lie Boy.
By 10 o'clock, he had to be carried off the stage. I mean, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, that's absolutely what happened.
That's right. We both got under Don's shoulders, and, and his feet were dragging across the
stage. And I think the 1,700 people who were there will call it and say that happened.
The thing is, see, you only had maybe 8 drinks or so. And for us here in Maine, that's just a warm-up, you know?
I can't believe guys like
that's
this.
That's just for lunch.
It's a blowhard. This little weasel. Yeah.
And you didn't even come to the show, you little ass.
No, I didn't.
You just called trying to bust balls.
I wanted to go, but...
Sure.
Why weren't you there?
Because the guy I gave 4 VIP tickets to went. His name was Dan.
Why didn't you get other tickets and go? Why didn't you just get there early?
Dan wanted to take his wife and his good friend of his who did a nice little freebie for us at Christmas time. And everything, you know?
What's the business? We'll give you a plug.
Maine Mall Motors.
Right.
What?
I said right. Say it again.
Maine Mall Motors.
Do you work there?
Yeah.
Do you sell cars there?
No, I do not.
What do you do there?
I'm in the parts department.
Another part. What is it with the parts guys? They're the angriest guys in the dealership.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You know what it is? We got to deal with a-holes all day long.
No, you ever think you might be the a-hole?
Well, no. No, see, I'm a super nice guy.
No, you're not a nice guy.
You're a very irritable, very angry man.
Oh, well, true. You've been speaking to my wife? Were you with her Friday night, matter of fact?
No, you wonder who was drunk Friday night.
I couldn't
find
her.
Your wife was drunk on Friday night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but it didn't really matter, did it?
No, it didn't.
No, not really.
As we passed her from show member to show member.
That's right. And she said, boy, it's so refreshing to have sex with individuals who don't have dirt under their fingernails.
And lobster breath.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, some of us did have lobster breath.
Yeah.
Did she smell like fish?
Yes, she did.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of curious.
All right.
So I would assume that he's probably lying about where he works.
With everything.
And what he does, too.
No.
Now, I bet he's not with it enough that he really did give us the name of the place he works at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course I would. I got the balls to do that.
Oh, do you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What do you do in the parts department?
What do I do?
What do you do? Don't answer a question with a question.
I answer phones all day long, like you folks.
What is your title? What is your job there?
I'm in the wholesale parts department.
No, you tell us now for the second time where you are. What is your title there?
Parts counterperson.
You're a counterperson?
Yeah.
You're not a manager?
No.
Okay. Got it.
Understand why you're angry. Don't sweat it.
Yes, I am.
You know what? America is...
I lied to you again, guys. I'm a manager. I lied to you again.
There's no way you're a manager.
I'm going to cry. What?
There's no way you're a manager.
Why not?
Are you the parts manager?
No, I'm the wholesale guy.
What do you mean the wholesale guy?
Well, we run a wholesale business here in Fairly Lodge, and I handle that end of it.
Meanwhile, Motors.
How many times do you think this guy has lied to us since he called us 2.5 minutes ago?
100.
You know, I mean, I don't lie. I have to lie for a living. That's one thing.
Why?
But not to you guys. I can't lie to you guys.
So you sell wholesale.
You guys can see through because you're just like me.
You sell wholesale.
You're just like me. See,
you have to lie for a living because you work at, what was the name of the place?
Main Mall Motors?
Main Mall Motors?
You got to guess.
Why do you have to lie to work at Main Mall Motors?
Because I'm in the automotive business. You're an automatic liar.
Your perception is that anyone in the automotive business, or certainly anyone at your place of employment,
not a perception,
is a liar.
Yeah, it's a fact.
See, what you mean? You lie about whether parts are new or used. You lie about quality of parts. You lie about the warranty. Do you lie about?
Do you lie to
your... No. What we lie about is if a guy calls up and says, "Where's my part?" I say, "Hey, it's on the way."
Uh-huh. And you're lying about that.
Sure.
It's really not on the way. So you lie to customers.
Or the part's on back order or something like that. You know what I mean?
So you lie to your customers.
Oh, every day.
How many times today have you lied to customers?
Oh, I answer about 200 calls. About 200 times.
Boy. I
got to give him the benefit of the day. There's no way he could be this stupid.
No, I think he could be.
You think he could be?
What's the name of the business? What's the name of the business again, allegedly?
Oh, for Christ, how many times am I going to tell you guys?
Because I want to write it down.
Mike knows what it is. Mike, what is it?
I want to write it down this time.
No. You know what it is.
Main Mall Motor.
There you go. See?
What town is that in?
Well, where were you? We're going on Friday.
It's there in Portland.
There you go.
Okay. And what's your first name?
Ralph.
Ralph.
Nah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, Ralph. It's Ralph.
Okay, Ralph.
No, call me Phil.
Whatever your name is, hold on a second. Hold on just a second.
It's pretty funny.
$69.
All right.
Directory assistance. From what city and state?
Portland, Maine.
They're calling the number right now.
Thank you. What listing?
Main Mall Motors.
I could have given you guys the phone number if you wanted to.
It's all right.
Please hold while the operator looks for that.
Give me the 800 line, too.
If you're on the level, this is great advertising for your business.
I know. It's fantastic.
You've just mentioned that you lie to customers all the time.
Yeah.
But you have to lie.
Yeah, I have to.
Every day.
See, I could have given you an 800 line, guys. Who are you going to call?
You would have lied about that, too.
See, the thing is, you're going to get the operation. You won't know who the hell you're talking
to. Hello?
No, I don't.
Yeah, we need the number from Main Mall Motors in Portland. Hey, Robbie, I'm going to put this on hold. Robbie, pick up, pick up Warm Line.
Warm?
Warm Line. There you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me see, where's that guy at? Are you still there?
Oh, where'd you guys go?
Yeah, hold on. Just put you on hold for a minute.
I can see
which one it is because there's
which. Hey, which one is it? Because there's many of them listed.
You mean which one?
Which one is yours? What's the address? Street address.
What does she want to know? I can't hear.
What is the street address?
Well, there's only one Main Mall Motors.
Rob, how many they got?
There's six of them.
There's six of them.
Ask them which one.
Oh, and they're all at the same address. Can I have the number for the parts department?
It's one of the operators,
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Listen, I don't mind the fact that you want to call up and bust my balls, you know, try to get me in trouble with my wife saying I was drinking when you weren't at the show, but
we got to follow up on this.
I mean, if what you're saying is true, why, this is, I feel like, an I-Team reporter that we've got. We've got a mole inside the automobile industry who has told us today that he lies to hundreds of customers.
A day.
A day.
Yeah, see, that would indicate... I don't think he works at Main Mall Motors.
Who knows?
I think he probably works at the competition.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
And you know, we can always...
The number you have reached, area code 207.
Hold on, maybe I misdialed. Hold on.
Four.
Please, be quiet.
We are going to Star 69 him anyway.
From Mike in Kansas?
What's
Tickle
that?
The Duke, Mike in Kansas.
I can't hear you, sir.
Tickle the Duke from Mike in Kansas.
Main Mall Motors, if you know your party's extension.
Now you got no extension.
Or remain on the line for a...
Are you saying you're calling from Kansas?
No. Some guy just called here. Called one of the other guys who answered the phone.
The moment.
To tickle the Duke.
You want.
And from Mike in Kansas. Whatever the hell that means.
You know, maybe this goofus is on the level.
Can you give us, did you give us your extension?
Calling Main Mall Motors, Mary speaking.
Yeah, hi, parts department, please.
Good afternoon, Pops, Dave speaking.
Yes, hi, you're on the air, this is the Don and Mike radio show.
Hey, and you got an idiot on the other line, don't you?
Yes, we do.
He's given us a bad name up here in Maine.
Yes, he is.
Does this idiot work in your place?
Work. He's not working right now. He's talking to you guys.
So is he standing right next to you?
Yeah, I'm looking right at him.
Hey, can you put him on the phone, please?
Sure. Yeah. He's right there.
Yeah, put him on the phone that you're speaking on.
Put him on.
That dope really works there.
Hang up that phone.
Yeah, they were just trying to get you to hang up.
No, but we want to talk to you.
You want to talk to me now?
Are you the manager?
No, he's the manager.
He's your boss?
That's why he sits around on the phone all day.
Is he your boss?
Unfortunately.
What's his boss's name?
Dick Bailey.
Do you think that Dick Bailey might be interested in knowing that this guy just got on national radio and said that he lies to hundreds of customers every day? That if people call to say a part's in or not, he'll lie to them?
I think he'd probably be interested in hearing that.
Yeah, well, that's it might get back to him since it's been since 6 million people have heard him say it today.
I know it.
And you realize he called this show in the first place to bust my balls about something that he was lying about.
Yeah, he was lying.
He wasn't even at the show.
He wasn't at the show at all.
Exactly.
Could you put him on the line, please?
Sure, hold right on.
Thanks. That guy sounded a little pleased.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Toyota, Lexus, and Subaru parts. Protect your investment with
Jeff. How dumb is this guy?
Plenty.
This plenty guy. Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Have to ask for Dick Bailey.
Yes, it's finally the realization.
Hey, Rob, why don't you rewind that so we can just hear some of his comments that he made.
All right.
I'd like to hear that again, some of his comments about lying to customers.
Mm-hmm.
Because those get off my nose. You call up, you want to say that you were at the show. And
of course.
That I was so drunk, Mike carried me off the stage. I mean, you know, I'm a public figure. That's okay.
Pretty amazing when he starts going on his place of employment like that, though. Thinking, of course, that he would be funny. And we've learned after 15 years, some people take what you say to heart.
Idiot.
What a dope. You got it? All right, here's the replay. Reel 2. Here we go.
Well, we're just like you.
You have to
lie for a living because you work at, what was the name of the place?
Main Mall Motors?
Main Mall Motors?
You got to guess.
Why do you have to lie to work at Main Mall Motors?
Because I'm in the automotive business. You're an automatic liar.
Oh. So your perception is that anyone in the automotive business, or certainly anyone at your place of employment,
not a perception,
is a liar.
Yeah, it's a fact.
See, what you mean? You lie about whether parts are new or used. You lie about the quality of parts. You lie about the warranty. What do you lie about?
Do you lie to your...
No. What we lie about is if a guy calls up and says, "Where's my part?" I say, "Hey, it's on the way."
Uh-huh. And you're lying about that.
Sure.
It's really not on the way. So you lie to customers.
Or the part's on back order or something like that. You know what I mean?
So you lie to your customers.
Oh, every day.
How many times today have you lied to customers?
Oh, I answer about 200 calls. About 200 times.
Boy.
Okay.
There it is.
Beautiful. That's
there
the best
go.
Part.
There you go.
There's a smart guy.
Real guy from a real place.
He's just like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like us.
Sure.
And Dick Burns is not calling him in his office right
Bailey.
Now.
Dick
Bailey.
Dick Bailey. Say Dick Burns.
Dick
Bailey, I'm sure, is not calling him in his office right now. Saying you're the biggest douchebag on the face of the earth.
He's going to get a talking to. That's the very best.
Hope so.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, you know, if anybody who works with the guy, I don't think we ever got the legitimate first name of him. We got his voice.
Right.
If anybody works with that guy, you know, because that's the kind of guy, you know, he doesn't have a bunch of friends in that situation.
No.
You know, he's a total ween. And if you feel like calling, let us know how this turned out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'd love to know.
We'd like to know anybody else that maybe works at the Main Mall Motors wholesale department.
We'd love
they
to
could
know.
They could give us a call and let us know how his day's going.
Because, you know, for my money, if you would have asked me 20 minutes ago my opinion of Main Mall Motors in Portland, I would have said fine, upstanding business.
Yeah. I say they probably still are, Don. They just might have to do a little editing.
Four star is what I would say.
They have a bad app.
I'm very surprised at that gentleman and what he said.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I've never really heard anyone in that business speak so ill of it.
He said you had to be a liar to work in the automobile industry.
And he said he usually takes about 200 calls a day. And
said lies to all of them.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Lies to all the people.
About when something's, you know, if he says it'll be right there, it's already been sent out. He said, you know, it's incredible. I'm shocked, frankly.
Right. Well, I still will hold Main Mall Motors in Portland, or Maine, with the highest regard.
As will I. I think we all will.
Sure, they're fine.
And I think so. Once they take care of some of these in-house issues.
Yeah, they might have a problem in the parts department.
Yeah, and you know, we never got the fella's name
they
either.
Can fix that.
But I'm sure that he's well known right now. He's probably going to be the most famous employee of Main Mall Motors.
Employee of the year.
Mike, to quote him, he's just like us.
He's just like we are.
He's just like we are.
Of course.
Welcome to the club. You damn dummy. Jesus.
Just all being a smart guy. Just wants to, you know, he's just like that. He's one of those guys that goes out and goes, I can do that show.
Right? Yeah. You know, it all started with, he wasn't even at the show.
Wasn't even at the show. Just calling to bust your balls.
He heard my wife get pissed at me, so he calls up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were falling down drunk. Now, you know, if you're a smart guy, you would have let it go right there.
Right.
But then he stayed on, and we got it out of him.
We got him right into his ego wheelhouse, where he thinks he's smarter than we are.
And we're not smart guys.
We're not smart guys. Not by a long shot.
So then we get him on this thing about, you weren't even at the show. No, he was not even at the show. Okay, well, I don't know how we got on where he works.
I think I may have asked him.
And he offered up the real name. And he was still laughing.
Right.
Even when people like from Wichita, Kansas were calling him.
Sure.
And saying, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
You know, it's a very, very slow thing to happen when you get the 6 million to begin to mobilize. And all of a sudden, I think it was between talking to his coworker and getting him to come to the phone that I think reality may have descended upon him.
Maybe so.
Or perhaps someone else came in. That happens a lot, too. Uh-huh.
Dick Bailey, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe Dick.
Well, all I know is that I still have nothing but great things to say about Main Mall Motors. And
as do I. Fine, fine organization.
I'm sure.
Great organization.
Need a little work with some of their employees.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
And, you know, well, God forbid, if you happen to be someone who had a part on back order,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might want to call back to see if, in fact, your part is there.
Well, you know, if there is somebody that's, you know, playing fast and loose with the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe they can get some people in there that won't do that.
I mean, if you're one of the 200 people that called today, you know, maybe you'd like to call back and see if your part is really there.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, maybe speak to another individual.
You know, maybe you're waiting for that carburetor,
right?
You know, and your car is sitting on blocks in the front yard.
Right.
You might want to call back.
And if he is indeed the manager, it might not be a really good idea to ask for the manager.
I don't think there's a chance he was the manager.
Well, who knows?
Well, but you know what? The other guy said he's the manager.
Yeah, incredible
guy.
His boss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Then maybe he's related to the guy who owns the place or something.
No.
You know,
we had another guy, Don. I swear to God, we had another guy in a parts department.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Uh-uh.
We had Rob, you remember that? We had another guy in a parts department did the same damn thing.
And I remember how you eventually won with him. You made him do the show for 2 minutes.
Right.
Because there's one. It eventually got you. Once you peeled back all the layers, he thought he could do the show. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't.
These guys
are angry people.
Well, this guy, I don't think he thought he could do the show, although he did say he's just like us.
Like I think he was getting to it.
I bet he was.
He's the type of guy that I could hear that coming out. You know, he's just like us. I could do that.
You know what? I bet he thinks he's the funniest person in the automotive industry.
Hello.
I could do that show.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I just the guy mentioned his name when he first called. He said his name was Steve.
Well, he also said Phil and Ralph.
Oh, yeah, he gave three different names.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, when he first...
Yeah, Buzz is right, yeah. Yeah,
actually, the place is actually in South Portland, Maine.
And we'll find out. You know what? South Portland. We'll find out more about him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you know what? We won't make one outgoing phone call.
No,
by the end of this show, we'll know.
No.
We'll know his Social Security number.
Yeah, okay.
We got it, because that's the power of the KISS Army.
Right.
That listens to this show.
Because when we get a little irritated, the nice thing is there are a bunch of other people that get irritated, too.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye. Bye-bye. All right, well, there's a slice of America for you.
Okay. Fantastic. And you know what? The guy that didn't go to the show, maybe none of this would happen if he had gone to the show.
Yeah, if you just come to the show, had a good time, for God's sakes. We never got to the Charlie Broyhill story, the Charlie Broyhill show. We'll do that right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Jam 38, John and Mike.
Of course, with a bumper tape from King of Queens. No word yet from the lovely Leah Remini. Perhaps no word ever. No, she'll get back to us one way or the other. I mean, I was talking with Broyhill today. We'll give her a couple of days. If we don't hear anything, we'll call her up. You know, you played that trailer, that Dirty Apes liner, and have you seen the trailer for Planet of the Apes? Saw it yesterday during the basketball game.
Does that look awesome?
Yeah. Well, the monkeys look realistic, you know, as opposed to the original Planet of the Apes.
It just looks really well updated. I'm really looking forward to
monkeys
it.
Monkeys look good. Listen, got to do some...
Well, they do.
They do. The monkeys look good.
Monkeys in space.
Got to get a couple of things noted here that Friday night... We'll be doing a Las Vegas-style show, another one, at the Rusty Rudder in Delaware.
Fantastic.
Friday, we do the show from our Ocean City, Maryland station, 96 Rock. Next week, we'll be in New York from WNEW, and for the first time ever with New Yorkers, we'll be playing live in studio, Strip Trivia.
So get ready, New York City.
Now, we are working on... to try something with the webcam for this.
All right.
We'll let you know what happens. It's tough logistically because it's from New York. Got to work out the details, Mike.
Okay.
We're still working out the details.
Okay.
Now, listen, if you're listening to us tonight, tape delay on WNEW, sure you say, well, how the hell do I call in to say I want to play Strip Trivia? Tomorrow we will unveil a special... email address just for people from New York.
Good.
So you can email us and you can tell us you want to play Strip Trivia and we'll call you back and we'll weed through all the dum-dums like the guy from the place up in Maine who I'm sure will send us bogus emails.
Yes, of course.
But that's how we're going to do it. We're going to get people from New York emailing us. We'll call you back. We'll set it up. We'll play Strip Trivia next week from WNEW.
Excellent.
Also this week, we're not going to have time today, but tomorrow we've got to start filling the all-gay Memorial Day Miller Lite Dewey Beach House.
All gay. That's what we're doing this year.
Wow. Yes. Over the Memorial Day holiday from May 25th through June 1st, it'll be all homos and lesbians.
Wow. Wonderful.
Living under the tutelage of house mother Homo Joe.
Homo Joe, who was a no-show Homo Joe for Friday night in Portland, Maine. You know, and we, with Homo Joe, when he travels up to our shows, we actually start to think about Homo Joe about 18 seconds before we go on stage.
Oh, crap.
That's when we say, where's Homo Joe?
Yeah,
and he wasn't there.
Has Joe been out trolling for contestants?
You know, we have no idea.
Well, it's the all-gay Memorial Day, Miller Lite, Dewey Beach House. And this is, we did this a long time before they had Big Brother and the Real World,
right,
where we get different people from different walks of life to live together in a house for a week. We have tape recorders. We tape everything that happens. We get daily reports. This is the first time we're going to go with an all-gay cast.
And, of course, the incredible story would be if one of the lesbians and one of the gay men decided to, that they liked each other and they decided to go straight.
Yeah,
that would be your one of your most interesting storylines. But who knows what's going to happen down there?
It could happen. So tons of stuff. We've got the showdown with Leah coming up, Las Vegas style show Friday night in Ocean City, the strip trivia in New York next week. We'll give you the special email address tomorrow.
Good.
And the all-gay Memorial Day at the Miller Lite Dewey Beach House. And that is courtesy of Miller Lite, the great taste of a true Pilsner beer. Yay!
Don?
Yes?
I have a question.
Yeah?
Will Dennis Murphy be in the all-gay Memorial Day beach house?
Well, Dennis Murphy is temporarily, at least, on the S list.
Oh, really?
Well, because of the whole Timothy McVeigh thing.
Ah, that's right.
I mean, we had received minimal contact from Dennis last week, mm-hmm, about his trip to Terre Haute. They were supposed to fry Timothy McVeigh, inject him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it's been put off a month, right, Buck?
Right,
a month?
June 11th, right.
So we need to talk to Dennis about getting his travel plans changed and getting him new credentials and figuring out which side he's going to be on, pro or con, or if he's going to try to actually get in with a fake CBS news pass we have for him.
This is when he vanishes, when we need to talk to him.
He's been gone. So, yeah, tentatively, Dennis would be the only non-gay member of the beach house.
Of course.
But first, we've got to figure out what he's going to do about covering the Timothy McVeigh execution for us.
He's a busy man. It's been a busy spring for him.
First things first. And, well, here's a letter we just got, and fax about the show in Portland Friday night. Dear Don and Mike, I was at your show in Portland, Maine Friday night. I couldn't help but be totally repulsed by your Las Vegas-style show.
Mm.
As you know, the audience was at least 85% male, which begs the question, why would I want to see two heterosexual men, more like two hammered local necks, making out with tongues, of course? Then came the dancing cows, I mean girls. Like a bad train wreck, I couldn't help but watch. Jesus,
yeah.
Aside from two above-average participants, you had a freaking cattle call on your hands. There were so many dimples on their asses, I was thought I was watching the Byron Nelson Classic. Of course, that's their own fault for allowing themselves to come up on stage. Thanks for signing the waivers, ladies. The guy below me could have used a waiver, for I puked on him.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I thought the show was great.
All over the road with that. That's an indictment right there.
And that is from Tim in South Portland, Maine.
Thank you, Tim. A lot of people, you know, really had a good time on Friday night.
Yes. We had a good time Friday night. You went out a little after the rest of us.
Yep.
But either way,
I saw a friend that I hadn't seen, seriously, in, it would be 1977, so do the math. How many years would that be? There was a guy in the front row, and he was waving, he was pointing at his face.
24 years.
24 years, he's pointing at his face, and then afterwards, he came backstage, and I looked at him again. I did not recognize him, and then he said, Glenn, from my hometown, we share the same exact birthday. We're both going to be 42 on June 22nd, grew up in the same hometown. His father is the same age as my mom, and we went out, and you know, I know when I said it to him, I said, yeah, I'll meet you at this Irish place. And I knew when I said that, he thought I might be, we'll see you later. When I walked in, he was there, and we reminisced, we laughed, we cried, we danced.
But, all stories aside, I was in my bed by midnight, mm-hmm, because we had to get up, you included, at 5 a.m. to leave Portland,
right,
on Saturday morning. Now, Mike the Golden Boy, as you know, had his own flight,
mm-hmm,
but he took the ride over to the airport with us because Mike's plane left
7 a.m.
allegedly 5 minutes later than our plane was going to leave.
Right. 7 a.m. And it did leave at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Okay. Here's where our story begins.
Okay.
I have been waiting for this. You know, the look that was on your face when I walked into the office indicated you might have had a little dicey trip.
We're going to build up to the Charlie Broyhill show.
Yes.
Okay. The first part is a show about all of us, the four of us. Me and Charlie and Robbie and Buzz, we're at the Portland airport. Now, we're all going on about 5 hours sleep, maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
We drag ass to get to this, excuse me, not airport, jetport.
That's right. Right.
Which is circa 1935. Now, I'm being generous. Circa Orville and Wilbur Wright is the Portland jetport.
Uh-huh.
Okay, as an insult to a jet to call this airport a jetport.
Insult to my doctor.
Okay, we get there. We wait in line. Not the prettiest flight attendants or people behind the counter at American Eagle, but I'm not going to hold that against them because it's not their fault that they're ugly. And we're waiting to get on the airplane, and, you know, we all got the bags under the eyes,
right.
And you got to do the thing where you check the bag, except you don't check it. What you do is
put it down next to the plane.
You walk outside, and you set it in this little rack. And then they give you a ticket, and you climb on the plane. It's just a bunch of, you know, there's like 25,000 useless steps to getting on this little airplane with propellers. We get on the airplane. The engines start up. Both of them. We can look out the window and see both propellers going. The engine runs for 30 minutes. We're not going anywhere. It's now past the time that we were supposed to take off. Where the pilot comes on and says,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain Wingnut. We've got a problem up here. One of the gauges is apparently broken, and I'm sorry, but this flight is canceled. We will do everything we can to reschedule you. Have a nice day. Thank you for flying American Eagle. Get off the plane.
No.
So now we...
Boy, that... I mean, when they start the engines and then they let you know, that's tough.
And it was a mini revolt on the plane because most people thought, we'll fly without the gauge.
Go for it.
You know, I mean,
right?
The engines are working.
Yeah.
You're making a 38-minute flight to Boston.
Probably an oil pressure gauge because, you know, they need that
RPM gauge for
it
one
was,
of the
It was an RPM
yeah.
gauge.
Yeah. Right. So we get off the airplane, and it's not only us that are in foul mood. I mean, and there was a couple that had two small infants and another one that was climbing around. So it's like there's 20 people on this flight, and we all get inside.
And you have to understand about this airport, you have to go down, you have to carry your luggage downstairs, and then go across the tarmac and get on a bus, and then you ride the bus over to the plane, and then you get your luggage off, and you put it on the car to get on, so we had to reverse that process.
You had to do this in
Portland.
Guys, I swear to God, I'm not doing Golden Boy stuff now. You had to do that in Portland?
Yeah. Right, and then
you had to get on
the process.
Bus?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And then reverse the process, of course, once the flight was canceled,
to
go back in the airport.
Can I tell you what I had to do?
Don't.
I'm just telling you the truth. I went to the gate, gave the guy my ticket, went down the end of the ramp, went down a flight of stairs, put my suitcase next to the plane, got on the plane.
Of course, you're the Golden Boy.
I thought they were all like that.
No, like I said, this is why there were 25,000 steps involved with getting on this airplane.
Right.
And once we get on the airplane and we're sitting there for 30 minutes with the engines going, they announce it's canceled, and then you have to do everything backwards.
Right.
You have to get off the plane.
Get your bag. Get on a bus.
Mm-hmm. Get your bag.
See, I thought it was only the big airports.
No. Get on a bus. Drive back. Right. Climb up four flights of stairs.
Right.
And then stampede over to the American window where the girl tells us, and this is the problem, this girl is why the C word is invented.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman at the counter at the American Eagle, and she says, well, we have a flight that's leaving in about 2.5 hours. That's the best I can do. We said, well, we have a connection at Logan Airport that brings us into Dulles International. She says, you're going to miss that, but I'm going to put you on another flight. Now, she went out of her way to say that the flight that she was going to put us on, it was American Eagle from Portland to Boston and United from Boston to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
She said, throw all those tickets away.
Right.
You're going to be flying American the whole way back to Dulles.
Mm-hmm.
We said, fine. We know that when we were in Boston yesterday, that it took us no exaggeration, 20 minutes at a brisk pace.
True.
To make it from Concourse B to Concourse C, because Logan is under construction. She says to us, she gets snippy, and she says, now she didn't have an accent, so I'm not going to attempt. She just said, I worked at Logan for 3 years. You're going to be at Concourse A. You'll have plenty of time to make the flight.
Mm-hmm. 5 minute walk, she said. No problem.
5 minute stops. So at this point, we're thinking, all right, we're screwed, but we're going to make the best of a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
We say to her, where can we get something to eat? And she says, the restaurant is right over there, but it doesn't open until 10 a.m.
Our flight leaves at 9:30.
How convenient.
So we go upstairs to where there is... Do you remember the name of the place, Rob? It was the Portland...
Skyline, I believe.
No.
Was it the Skyline Snack Bar?
I think it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Portland Skyline Snack Bar.
Snack Bar.
Where? So the snack bar wasn't open.
No, the snack bar was open.
Yeah. The snack bar was
open. Did you get a donut or a ham sandwich?
Oh, I had a tuna fish sandwich.
Oh, that's right. They had tuna also.
And they had a guy behind the counter who looked like a Full Metal Jacket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Private Pile.
Yeah. And very disturbing, he had Band-Aids on like 4 of his fingers.
This is just getting better, guys.
And we're standing there, and some of us were looking in the big window thing that you open up that has like these pastries apparently that have been there for weeks and weeks.
Right.
And... were you there, Buzz, when the guy starts asking us how much everything costs?
Yes, I was a witness to that.
It's like he's behind the counter and he goes, hey, how much is the Coconut Krispies? I go, $129.
Mm-hmm.
How much is the blueberry truffle? $149. How much is the custard cup? $159. You know, and we're really, why are we going through this with this guy? He works here.
Right. Right.
Why are we telling him the prices? So we get this crappy food, and we sit down at this crappy little snack bar, and then we realize when we're done eating that we've only wasted 10 minutes.
And you've got an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Two and a half hours to go. So we decide we're going to go shopping. You know, you mentioned that you stopped and bought your wife sunglasses and a watch at the shops at the airport you were at.
Yeah, slightly bigger airport. National Airport in Washington, D.C.
We went to, Robbie, what's the first place you and I went to?
The Lobster Place.
The Lobster Place.
Right.
Well, once again, we walked in on some of Portland's finest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the cops, I just mean the finest people, the biggest brains in Portland, because they have a lobster tank right in the front window.
A live
right?
tank. I mean, it's big, like 500-gallon lobster tank.
Yes, right, for people that want to ship lobsters.
Right. We walk in, the first thing Rob says, real loud, do you have lobsters?
Why, yes, we do, out front. And then I said... do they make good pets?
And she,
well, that's good. Rob's keeping a sense of humor at this stage of the game.
She says, I don't know.
I don't know. It would live for a while, I guess.
That's a New England answer you get. You ask a question, you get a straight answer. Absolutely.
So we look.
You probably put a leash around it. I don't know whether it'd survive or not.
So we look around the store a little bit. Everything is lobster oriented. They have little lobster
key tags.
Everything
lobster.
Thimbles, key tags, cookbooks. Hats, mm-hmm. all kinds of goddamn...
Well, hence the name The Lobster Store.
Sauces, right. So then we walked across the hall to the other store.
The only other store.
To the sundry store where they had books and magazines and candy.
Like just a gift shop?
Yeah. And in the back of the gift shop, they had these wind chimes. And once again, Rob goes to the back. He's as loud as can be. He goes, hey, Don! Wind chimes! You love wind chimes! And he starts wailing on these wind chimes.
Clanging them.
They're like, clang, 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 clang. And the woman behind the counter says, hey, stop that. Stop that. And I looked at her and I seriously said, retarded. And she said, he acts retarded. And I said, he is retarded. And then we walked up, I bought some Mentos or something for my awful death breath.
Very depressing.
And I was standing there buying this stuff, and Rob is just picking up things from the candy counter and dropping them on the floor.
Oh, dear, he's being a bad boy now.
He would just pick up a Reese's Pieces,
right.
Look at it, and it would just fall out of his hand. And the lady would look at me again, and I would go,
Retard.
Oh, God.
And she nodded like, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, must be.
Rob's a retard.
Incredible impression. So we get done in this story, and now we realize that, well, we've only got 2 hours
right.
until the airplane leaves, which is when Rob and I discovered the wheelchairs that they have in the airport.
The recreational wheelchairs that were put there for your own entertainment.
Right.
Rob and I raced.
Just back and forth?
All over the place.
Oh, God.
We found out we could turn those babies on a dime.
There you go.
Yeah.
And the one that we liked best, incidentally, was the Invacare Mark IV. As far as we could tell, that was the Rolls Royce.
Really? That one had good good wheel action?
Of wheelchairs.
Fantastic. So did you race wheelchairs for the better part of 2 hours?
We spent maybe an hour.
Good, really?
Yeah. Rob and I just rolling around the airport.
Challenging each other to speed and also accuracy. Because, you know, they had, like, big columns
right.
that hold up, you know, the ceiling to the five gates of the
sure.
airport. And we try and take the turns real tight. And that Invacare, that handles. And it's wide. It's comfortable.
Now, did one of you guys have the Invacare and the other person have the other, like...
I had the Invacare.
Before it was done,
we both had an Invacare.
There you go. Yes. Rob upgraded.
Rob traded in.
And
we also tried the skinny wheelchair that they use to help people off the plane. You know,
oh, okay.
The one
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
One with a high back.
Right.
Yeah,
Rob had to push me in that one.
I think that's just a pushable one.
Yeah, it's sorry.
Yeah, that's not your speed demon.
That's a Yugo.
So good you wanted to take it on the plane with you, huh?
No. But my favorite moment was, because everybody was just beat tired and mad that we were stuck in this crappy little mm-hmm. airport, Rob and I are pushing around in these wheelchairs. I see Broyhill coming out of the bathroom. I go, hey, Charlie. And I expect some kind of a big laugh. Mm-hmm. And he just gives me a look like, what are you doing?
I was out of my sight for 5 minutes.
I said, look, me and Rob have wheelchairs. So we amused ourselves with the wheelchairs for about an hour.
Right.
Oh, you then, left that one thing.
What?
When Charlie finally gave up even looking at you, you called out so everyone could hear, you've left me. Why won't you push me?
See, it was Charlie's birthday, and he was not having the best birthday ever.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Yeah, real loud. I was sitting in the middle of the terminal, and people are walking by, and I was sitting in the wheelchair. I said, Charlie Broyhill, you have to push me. I can't make it go by myself.
Mentioning his old name.
Yeah.
Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill, I know it's your birthday, but please, I'm an invalid. Come push me in the wheelchair.
Well, the fact that it's his birthday, enter into this story later on?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
I'll never forget when Rob tried to walk through the security door.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have like a revolving door.
Right.
That lets you go from the area where you get on the airplanes to where you come out.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, big sign. Really, 8-10-inch letters.
Huge.
Do not enter this door.
And that's the one you walk through?
And it was a revolving door, and I went and I just pushed on it lightly, and the guy, the attendant in there in the red jacket, looks at me and goes, no, don't enter.
Stay away.
And Rob looks at him and goes, what? Like, I'm trying to enter.
Did he ask him if they sold lobster? They sold lobster?
I didn't ask him about it.
We were, okay, obviously we're starving for entertainment.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But still, at this point, we've not lost it. Collectively as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're making the best of a bad situation.
We're keeping our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
It is now 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes past when the plane is supposed to leave. We go through the same goddamn exercise again, stand in line, check our bags in, walk down 4 flights of stairs, go out to the little bus,
mm-hmm.
carry our bags on the bus, get off the bus, get on the airplane.
This is about the time we're also saying to each other, you know what? Mike's home right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's
what
not
time, what time was this?
9:30.
I've been home for about 50 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Not home, but I've been on the, you know, on the ground.
That's pretty close. We would have traded for that.
Yeah.
So we get on the airplane.
I told Don in the office before, you know, there were probably at least 8-9 seats on my plane.
Well, you would have booked all of those so you could choose the seat when you got there, didn't you?
Yeah, we could have made that if the dum-dum pilot had to have a sit there for 30 minutes before he told us that the gauge was broken. So we get on the airplane, and I am not lying.
Nazis, uh-oh, that can't be good.
When I say that our attendant,
mm-hmm. the stewardess, flight attendant,
she was a Nazi.
She was that bad.
She had mm-hmm. the Aryan look.
Mm-hmm.
She was blonde.
Yes.
Older, broad, about 50.
Right.
Very short butch haircut. piercing blue eyes, and she spoke with an accent.
Ah, the accent!
And what are people about?
She was very close to the guy, the lady in the Dr. Evil lair.
Oh,
Lady Illy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she had blonde hair, but...
Yeah.
On the plane! Like,
right.
As you would get on the plane...
29!
Everybody had the little tag that said what seat you're supposed to sit in. You would get on the plane, you'd start to go to your seat, you'd say, where are you going? Say, I'm going to my seat. Do you know that is? Said, 7B, it's right down this way.
It's right down this way, Frau Mueller.
Right. Very good. 7B, it's on your right.
And oftentimes,
show me your ticket. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which is really a variation of show me the paper.
Do you know
where you're sitting? 7B. Do you know where it is? Yeah, it's right here. Let me see your ticket.
Let me see your ticket.
She had to have proof.
So.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah.
And she loved, I love this. She moved Rob.
Yep.
Because Rob was up front again. It was too fat to fly on the front of the plane.
You got
to
be happy when that happens.
Loving that. Loving that.
So she comes up. And you know, the one person who was able to win her over was Broyhill.
Right.
Because Broyhill, she argued with Broyhill the moment he got on the airplane because he didn't want to check his bag. He wanted to carry it on.
Mm-hmm.
She said, that bag is too large to bring on the airplane.
It will not fit.
He said, let me see. And she said, it's too large. You cannot do it. And then, for whatever reason, he charms her.
Yeah.
And he ends up being able to take his... Broyhill's the only guy on the airplane
right.
who gets to bring his bag and put it in the overhead compartment.
Meanwhile, she stops screaming, nine, nine, nine!
So, Broyhill's sitting next to Rob in the front of the plane.
Right.
I'm a little further back, and Buzz is a little further back. I notice at one point she comes over and says to Rob, you have to move.
It is time for you to move to the back.
We're not tweaking this up.
No.
Buzz?
Not at all. It's all true. Every word is true.
Is she thick-legged?
No.
No. No, not really.
Really?
About 40 years
sturdy.
Old. Yeah, medium build.
She was sturdy.
It's time for you to move. Seat 10B.
Really, I'm not exaggerating. So.
It's what it was.
It's time for you to move. So she moves Rob, and as... they're moving back. I say, hey, gotta move the fat man. She goes, yes. I'm goofing. And she says, yes.
Yeah.
So she moves her up. Now, here's the people on this airplane, so petrified. The guy who's sitting in the seat behind me,
right.
he has to take a leak. Now, the plane's not taking it. They didn't turn the engine on yet.
Right.
He puts his hand up like he's in school. And she goes,
bro.
She goes, yes, 8B. And he goes, may I go to the bathroom? And she says, yes. And you're too heavy to be sitting there. When you are done going to the bathroom, I want you to move to the back of the plane, to 24B. So the guy says, okay. He gets up and he goes to the bathroom. He comes out of the john. He walks down the hall. And lo and behold, someone's sitting in seat 24B.
Right.
So like the good obedient guy that he is, he comes back up to Frau Mueller and he says, hey, there's someone sitting in 24B. And then she says, well, then take another seat.
I will not be annoyed.
She's that horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. Yes.
She really is. And when the plane arrived in Boston, when the little beep-doop
right.
went off, people started to get up and she stood up and said, everybody, I did not tell you you could get out of your seats.
Nice!
Well, really?
Yeah, again, true.
I'm not exaggerating.
True. Where are you going?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not using the speaker or anything.
No,
like that, right?
Just yelling.
Standing up and yelling.
Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you you could go. Where are you going? We're not going anywhere for a while. Sit back down.
You will remain seated until we have completed with the taxi.
Jawohl. But even now... we're still not pushed over the brink.
It's still right. okay.
It's good. You know, the first half of the trip is over.
Okay. Let's break, because when we come back, this is what you've been waiting for. The Charlie Broyhill Show.
Charlie Broyhill.
The Charlie Broyhill Show. Air Rage. Logan Airport. A show that I've never seen before.
Really?
I'll probably never see it again.
Yeah. Man, I almost wish I was with you.
I told you it would be worth the extra 5 hours that we had to spend
to see this show.
Just for you to see what happened.
I haven't even seen Charlie Broyhill today.
So now this is coming off of, you know, keep in mind, with all of us, we're all overtired, we're all pissed off. But at one point, Broyhill says, as we get off the plane in Boston, he says, this is a great birthday. And then it really crystallizes for me.
Okay, it's his birthday.
Yeah.
He's losing it a little.
He doesn't like to make a big deal about it, but it's his birthday, and he's pissed.
It's slipping away.
He fought with a lady at the counter in Portland, and he fought with the lady on the airplane, and he didn't like it when we were goofing around in the wheelchairs. Didn't like it when Rob was goofing around with the chimes. And
it's his birthday, and he's 5 hours late.
Yep. And, you know, once we find out it's his birthday, we keep saying to him, "Hey, Charlie, is this your greatest birthday ever?"
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, well, because we got nothing else to do.
We're bored.
Right. And so, like, all the time, and we're walking through the airport, we're saying, "It's this man's birthday."
So it's kind of a slow burn for him.
It's right. A slow burn that explodes.
Okay. All right.
When we get to Boston, stay there. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. Another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Chinstrap to tell you more.
This Friday, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show hits the Delmarva area at the Rusty Rudder, 113 Dickinson Street in Dewey Beach, Delaware. You've got to be 21 to get in. The show starts at 8. For information and directions, call 302-227-3888.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss it.
Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building. Great.
What? The kings of Connie Palooza, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, Vegas style show Friday night.
The world tour continues. Ocean City, Maryland. Goddamn, I love it there.
And we'll see you on stage Friday night. Now,
fortunately, we go to Ocean City. We don't have to fly. We just drive there.
Right, yeah.
So, coming up now in the Charlie Broyhill Show.
I finally got to see Charlie out in the hallway, and
Charlie said, "I'm going to love this."
You will, Mike.
Okay, wow.
Especially with all the things that you've been accused of over the years.
Right.
Involving travel and your temper.
Ah, very good. Very good.
So, the plane arrives in Boston. We have roughly 20 minutes to make our connecting flight.
That's tight. Yeah, very.
The bitch in Portland was wrong. Because, first off, we get off the airplane in Boston, and even in Boston, you get off the plane, you got to pick up your own bag.
Right.
Then you go sit on a bus, and you have to wait for everybody from the plane to get their bag and get on the bus. And then they drive you.
That would follow.
They drive you all the way around the airport.
Were you looking for the arrangements where, like, the first four rows get on and then the bus just takes off and leaves everybody else there?
Well, you would think. It doesn't work like that.
Would have helped.
So. Or you would have just thought there was a gate right there where they landed at. Just let us get off and get into the airport there.
That's an exercise I find a little unusual.
And again, it's bass ackwards because, as I understand it, we landed in Concourse A, yet they put us in buses that take us to Concourse B.
Because that's the gate that you get the buses from.
But
I guess.
It's dumb. I mean, I'm just explaining it. When the plane landed, we landed at gate 37. We could have just gotten off the plane and walked right into the airport, but instead they put us on a bus. And, you know, we've got a connection to make.
Tight.
So we're very uptight, but we're keeping in mind what the lady in Portland said. Your plane is going to be flying out of A, and it's a five-minute walk.
No problem, she said.
We take the bus ride. We get into the airport, we start looking for the screens that tell us what's happening, and we see that there are no flights on American Airlines to Dulles Airport, even though the tickets we have that the lady in Portland has changed say we're on a 10:45 flight to Dulles on American. So we go up to the American counter and we say, "Hi, we're on this flight." And the woman looks at us and smiles and says, "There is no such flight. There is a United flight at this time.
Duh.
But if you want to make this flight, you've got to go to Concourse B."
So the lady told you it was an American flight when, in fact, it was a United flight.
And she told us it was a concourse that was closer when, of course, it was a concourse that was 20 minutes away. Now, we know this from our trip up to Portland, and we already made this run through the airport, but we made it when we had 2 hours.
So is this the time when you start running in a dead sprint?
Yes.
Now,
I'm confused. Was it in this airport or in the Portland airport when Charlie yelled, "This airport effing sucks"?
No, that was at Logan.
That was at Logan.
That was as we... That's the beginning of the Charlie Broyhill show.
We first realized something was amiss, because Charlie, you've maybe heard him yell 3 times, ever.
And you need to know that this 20-minute walk that we've mentioned from concourse to concourse at Logan Airport, that's if you walk really, really fast with your luggage, and it's a very long way through a very long tunnel.
It's hot, and yeah, what you're doing is you're walking through like a construction tunnel that they've made. They have these things all over New York City, you know what I mean, where they got like... plywood on the sides, and they've got these little cheap plastic windows.
Yeah, it's kind of like scaffolding they have put up so you won't get bonked on the head by all the construction.
And basically, you're running right next to where cars are driving. Four lanes of traffic are driving outside. So as we get out of the gate area, and we realize that the woman in Portland is after us, and that we have to make this 20-minute run, which we thought we would have to, that's where Charlie begins to lose it.
Sure.
And there's a couple of old people that are just sitting in these chairs waiting for something. And he screams at no one in particular, but they thought at them. And I mean screams. This airport sucks ass. This effing airport sucks.
Mm-hmm. But this is just the beginning.
Right.
Echoes in the building.
So now we get outside, and we've all started to distance ourselves a little bit from Charlie.
He's having the big nervous breakdown.
Keeping in mind, of course, well, he's the fastest. He's in the best shape, but also we've all backed off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As we are making this mile-and-a-half turn through these man-made tunnels at the airport, they have emergency boxes built on into the side. Every time Charlie goes by one of these boxes, which are supposed to be pressed only in case of an emergency, he presses it and he says, "This airport effing sucks." And by the time Rob and I get up to the box, it's the guy responding.
Oh my God.
Going, what did you say? Hello there. Also, every time there's a sign, Charlie knocks it off the wall. Would they have the signs up that say, wet floor ahead?
Right.
Charlie kicks those signs out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He is also, as we are walking through this walkway, he is pounding his fist as hard as he can against the wall as he's walking along. So the exercise is this. We're running. We're not really walking. We're kind of half running.
Mm-hmm.
He's beating on these...
help boxes.
Right, and he's saying, "This airport sucks." He's also beating on the flimsy walls.
Mm-hmm.
He almost put his fist through one of the windows. He's kicking signs. He is ripping signs off the wall.
Oh, my God.
And leaving them in his wake.
He's not a happy camper.
No, he's not. And this is the best part. We make it through. I mean, he's really out of his freaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
We make it to the end of this little tunnel, and now we know that we have to take an elevator up one flight of stairs, and then you have to climb 4 more flights of stairs. There's no elevator to get to the top to where we have to go. As we are waiting for the elevator that will take us up to the 4 flights of stairs that we have to climb, the office, right there with a glass door, says, Office of Logan Airport Security. And a guy comes to the door. Obviously, every time Charlie has hit the emergency button, they've tracked it. And every time he's gone by, he's screamed, "This airport effing sucks." And what did you say the one time, Rob, when you followed up? Because Charlie would just do the hit and run. He'd hit the emergency box and say, you know, F you, and he'd keep going.
We finally got up to one, and the guy says, "These boxes are for only use in emergencies." And I said, "Well, it's an emergency how bad your airport sucks."
Oh, wow.
We're all upset.
The other funny thing about the call boxes was about the time that Don and Rob would approach the call box that the guy was answering, Charlie had arrived at another call box and was hitting that in succession. So we hit about 6 in a row, and the guy answered at each and every one of them as we passed by.
So you get up to close to where the gate is.
No, we're not even close to where the gate is.
No, not even.
We're just at concourse now.
But you're near the Office of Airport Security.
Right. Now, and at this point, A guy shows up from behind that we're waiting for the elevator. A guy shows up and goes, "Can I help you? Are you the guys that were talking out there on the boxes?" And Charlie drops his bag and walks over towards the door and says, "This airport effing sucks."
The guy in uniform?
Yeah.
Was he packing heat?
Charlie said, "Has this airport always sucked, or has it just been recent?" And the guy said, "What?" And Charlie said, "It's not a complicated question. Has this airport always sucked, or has it just been recent?"
And he's not saying this. He's screaming.
Right.
So at this point,
oh,
Rob, Buzz, and I, fearing that someone may be arrested,
have distanced ourselves.
We have now backed into the elevator.
Right.
And we're watching this happen about 20 feet away. And Broyhill's continuing to yell at this guy who's behind this glass partition. And at one point, the guy just shrugs his shoulders and turns and walks away.
Right.
It's at this point that Broyhill takes his hand and slams it. And I don't mean lightly. I mean, boom, against the window. The guy turns around. Charlie gives him the finger through the window. The guy stands there and looks at him. And Charlie goes, and spits all over the window.
Whoa!
You could have seen it. You would have dropped your luggage.
I'm positive. I said to Rob, "We're going to be arrested." He said, "Every call box,
yeah,
every emergency call box, he's beaten against the window. He gave this guy the finger, and he just spit all over the window."
You see,
but
a green creeper crawling down that piece of glass.
A real loogie.
Yeah.
In an incredible showdown.
Are you guys frightened at this point? Because
I'm horrible,
you've never seen him like this.
There's not enough Ativan in the world to make this okay.
And then the amazing thing happens. The security guy backs down.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The security guy just turns and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie comes and gets in the elevator.
And we go up.
And I say, "That's the most incredible show I've ever seen." And he just laughs and he says, "I'm really pissed."
Oh, my God.
So really, no kidding. You're really pissed. Keep in mind, in a 20-minute stretch, we've seen him walk through the airport screaming at the top of his lungs.
Right.
"This airport effing sucks." Beating on walls, knocking down signs, kicking garbage cans over, kicking those big giant ashtray things over, hitting every emergency call box. And then the guy at the window screaming at him. And then when the guy turns around, boom! The hand goes against the window, and he gives him the finger, and the guy stands there, and Charlie, he's a giant lug all over this window.
Air rage, fortunately, he's on the ground.
Yeah, expectoration on the window.
Oh,
horrible.
Did he get it all out of his system?
No, he was still mad.
Yeah.
Because we still had to run to get to the gate where our flight was.
We weren't sure we'd make it.
Yeah, as always, you know, it says this way to gates 1 through 27 and we're at gate 26.
Of course you are, yes.
Oh, we're running through the airport. Now, Charlie's lightened up a little bit.
Right.
He's gotten a lot of it out of his system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't end because we get to the counter, the United counter.
After I battle to get my beer through security.
Yeah, right. And at this point, you know, there's no loyalty.
They're gone.
No, we've abandoned Rob.
We've given up Rob.
Sure.
He's not making it through the security checkpoint, and we're saying, well, it's 10:35, F him. If he misses the flight, he's on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, they're keeping Rob because he's got 2 6-packs of
the
beer.
The free beer that we were given by the program director, Chris, in Portland.
Thank you, guys.
We get to the ticket counter, to the gate there, the United gate. Charlie gives the man, it's a male waitress behind the counter, he gives the man our tickets, and the man says, "You're not booked on this flight."
Oh.
And I see it beginning with Charlie again.
Sorry.
Now, he's got it under control, because
mm-hmm.
this is a guy, there's no glass in between them. He says, very calmly, but everything very measured,
mm-hmm.
he says, "We were in Portland, the plane broke. You screwed us out of our connection. You told us that we were Concourse A. We're really at Concourse C. We were on United originally. We want to be on this plane now." So the guy, the cool guy behind the desk for United, he says, "Do you have your paperwork, your original paperwork?" We give him the paperwork.
Something the other flight, the other gate person told you to throw away.
Throw it away.
Yeah. But we held on to it.
Yes.
So we show this guy the paperwork, and he says, "No problem. I got 4 seats. I'll get you on the flight."
He was great.
Then this woman from United Airlines comes from out of nowhere, and she comes behind the counter, and she looks at the four of us, and she says, huh, a little late boarding this plane, aren't you?
Oh, my.
See, they don't have any clue.
No, people go through now.
This is the lady that they named Concourse C after.
Yeah, now, we are, at this point, I mean, all of us, beads of sweat are pouring down us, and we are out of breath. And this bitch has the guts to say to us, a little late checking in, aren't we? And at that point, I just took Charlie by the arm, and we walked away.
Right. Poured him onto the crowd.
Because there could have been...
Right. A murder.
Charlie Broyhill Show Part 2.
Right.
At that moment.
Mm.
But I have never seen... we'll bring him in here.
All right.
But, just barely made it.
I mean...
That sounds like quite a show.
Us describing it doesn't do it justice.
No. Well, no, it's kind of shocking for me to hear it. I'm in a state of shock.
I have to picture him walking through the airport.
Right.
And whenever there's a sign in this little...
You hear about... You know, you hear... This gives you a little perspective about people who wig out on airplanes. It has turned into one of the worst ways to travel, bar none. Mm-hmm. It is very... uncomfortable and unpleasant for people that have to connect on airplanes. It's ridiculous.
You got to picture him walking through this.
Happy birthday.
Walking through this tunnel, knocking down signs, banging his fist against the wall, hitting the emergency button and just saying, this airport sucks!
Now, let's take a look inside the mind. You just lost
guarantee
it.
Guarantee you there's nothing in there. Hey?
You just completely lost it.
Well, Rob had asked me, he said, doesn't this bother you at all? Just before that, I said, no, not really. And then 20 seconds later, I was thinking,
got to.
This really sucks. I'd only been sleeping for 2 hours.
Right.
And that bitch in Portland said, this won't take long. It's a 5-minute walk.
Oh, and she also
worked there.
She said, I worked at Logan Airport for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. So well, she had you on an American flight that didn't exist.
Right.
Right.
Oh, my God. So you had to go to another concourse where the United flights are.
Yeah,
right.
And when you land at that airport,
right,
you land in one spot, and then they travel you 3 miles back to where your plane just taxied by to get off and go to the concourse. That place sucks.
It does. It's a horrible airport.
The Big Dig needs to be covering that airport up.
So Charlie is out of his mind.
Right.
But like I said, the highlight is this guy challenges him.
What was the deal with the security guard? Why did he push your button so much?
Well, because I was... He said if I had asked him a legitimate question, he would have entertained it.
It was legitimate.
And then he's behind a glass.
Right.
And all I saw was Charlie's hand. Boom!
Yeah, I slapped the window. I was afraid I was going to break it. And I was waiting for him to turn around because I had built one up.
A loogie.
Yeah, and I have
so
a head cold.
So you slapped the window with the specific intent
spit on
spitting
it.
On
yes.
it.
That's right.
He has a cold.
And it felt good.
It felt real good.
He was the authority figure that represented the entire airport.
And
the entire airport that was putting you through that inconvenience.
That's right. And when I originally started, you know, when we were walking down that sidewalk with the roof on it, that first thing I threw over,
yeah,
there was an American security guard who was walking up there, and he just looked at me and shook his head.
That was because that ruefully?
Yeah. Probably, you know, everybody's afraid of you.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you'd done that, you know, in another location, perhaps like on the plane or even at the gate, maybe you might be in handcuffs.
Well, yes, I know.
Yeah. I thought he was in trouble seriously when he was walking through the terminal.
Right.
Screaming.
Cussing.
This airport sucks ass. This is the most effed up airport in the world.
Just to let you know our state of mind, when we were in the elevator right before he spit, we didn't even have our finger on door open. If those doors had shut, we would have been like John said, there was no loyalty at that
point. We are piranhas when we all travel. I mean, even if it's an emergency situation, like Rob being left behind with the beer and you guys, you know. And, well, I suppose you guys were afraid to, like, walk up and put your hand around his shoulder and say, hey, knock it off. Cause
everything will be all right.
You might get the loogie, too.
Well, keep in mind, he's just run a course of terror for the last 10 minutes through this airport.
Bodies strewn everywhere.
And, you know, all we could do is picture the guy in the security office watching on some monitor seeing all of these.
Somebody's probably got a fantastic videotape of all this, you know.
All of these emergency boxes being hit and Charlie just screaming, F you, this airport effing sucks.
Right.
This is the worst airport in the history of the world. F you, F you.
It was the culmination of the morning of horror.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But at least I knew which hotel floor I was on.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi.
Buzz.
You've been waiting this whole time to do that, huh?
No, I just thought about that.
All right, so Buzz got off on the wrong floor.
I did.
Yeah.
That was early in the trip, was I? Mean, I was
right
with all you guys.
The show.
So right, many. Right after
the door
show.
Closed, and I said, Rob, isn't Buzz on the 12th?
So many hotels.
Yeah, we have been on the road a little bit.
Oh, Jesus, but it was a great show, Charlie. I know you were pissed.
Yeah, I was.
But I said to him, once we got on our plane, and I also said to him when we got on the plane, so that's maybe
it this morning,
yeah. Maybe the greatest show I've ever seen. And I actually pulled out my Palm Pilot when we were on the tram, writing down all the details,
mm-hmm. Right?
So I wouldn't forget.
Sure.
Not like him knocking down the signs, punching the walls,
yeah.
Hitting every emergency button.
Incredible. You look calm now.
Oh. Never felt better.
Never felt better.
To his credit, and Don used the word measured, despite this rage, it was controlled. It was, he kept it just short of anything that would really get you arrested for something.
Get the white coats
there
out
was no,
there.
There was no true vandalism. He knocked stuff over, but he didn't break anything. You know, right. It was a kind of controlled, measured rage the whole time.
I would say the probably one of the things, hearing that story that stands out in my mind of everything would be the loogie on the window.
Yeah. The force that he hit
right
the window with, and I also thought you had broken the window.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he's going to put his hand right through that window.
And the guy looking at you, the security guard, probably looked in your eyes and saw that they better just leave this guy alone, right?
And at the end of our trek, we passed a suggestion box. And I said, hey, Charlie, there's a suggestion box for you. And he, to his credit again, he laughed and said, no time.
Oh, my God. I can't believe, though, the lady that came up and said, well, aren't we late checking in?
You're right. I was ready to go. Right?
I know. Because the guy had been super cool, the guy at the United
he was great.
Desk.
But you're as good as your gate attendant.
All of our venom really goes towards the lady at American Eagle.
In Jetport.
At Portland, at the Jetport.
Right, right.
The lady who was condescending, the lady who said, well, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm going to put you on this flight. You're going to be 5 minutes away. I worked at Logan Airport. We get to Logan Airport. Not only did she not book us on the flight, it's a 20-minute walk to get to where the hell she put us.
So what do you think she did? Do you think she was doing... That sounds to me, when somebody F's up that bad, that maybe they're screwing you on purpose.
It could have been.
I mean, we weren't
that angry at that point.
Just
though.
Her state of mind, just the way she is. I
mean, she didn't even book you on any airplane.
No.
So after getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning,
she booked us on a non-existent flight. I mean, she printed out a ticket for a non-existent flight.
Yeah.
Our tickets.
True. It's incredible.
Our tickets said American Airlines departing at 10:45. They had no such flight.
You know, you do get to the point when you're traveling and you're that hassled that you look at these people that do this and you almost want to just, you know, there's a reason they wear name tags. And, you know, you almost like just make a little mental note. So that if this stuff happens, you can get on the horn and track it back down. You know, at least
I bet
make
it's like the girls at Hooters. It's not their real name.
Yeah.
You know, and besides
always that, gets back to Hooters with you, Charlie.
At that point, who knew? Because when the lady in Portland was jerking us around, we didn't know we didn't know it until we got to Boston.
Right.
And if we weren't so tight on time, I kept saying to Charlie, I just want to find a phone to call that C in Portland and tell her she was way off.
You know, my stomach felt a little upset on my flight. I didn't eat my boxed lunch that they gave me.
That's too bad.
Yeah, after getting up at 5 a.m., we got home 4.5 hours after Golden Boy.
Yes, that's right. Our layover was longer than your flight.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and don't think we didn't say that a whole bunch of times. Mike's at home right now.
Razzle.
Golden Boy's already in his car, probably driving home.
I can say, with all total sincerity for all of you, I have no sympathy for any of you. None whatsoever. Because really, when I tell people about this, when I bring things up, when I make suggestions, when I say things, it's like, whatever. It means, you know, whatever. And then I'm on that plane, and that plane, you guys all could have been on that plane, but it's like, eh, whatever.
Oh, no, you didn't give me the chance.
No, but I mean, you could be from the very beginning. You could be on an easier flight, a better connection. But when I bring it up, it's not that big a deal.
Oh, no. You brought it up, and then you said you were going to be in charge of travel. So I said, you're in charge of travel. And then a month later, you quit.
Well, I quit because nobody was paying attention to my suggestions for travel.
You don't deal with me with that. You deal with Charlie.
Did Charlie?
I'd always change the flights according to you.
I know, but
you changed
the plane. I booked the flight for Denver.
That was changed.
Because of
all the BS. I would have been happy to keep that the same way, but there was so much pressure on me. I said, I don't want this. I don't want to deal with this. We probably would have gotten out to Denver, made the connection with no problem at all. Now, the flight going out to Portland, the United flight, that was not the right way to do it. But when I researched it further, that flight that left on Thursday night would have gotten us all in with plenty of room to spare. I had a nice, restful evening. We would have gone out and done the show and then come back at 7 o'clock with no delay whatsoever. But it just,
but remember,
just couldn't make it on time.
Remember.
No, we could make it on time. We all left the hotel at the
Yeah, we could have all been on that flight. It could have been easily accomplished. And I changed that at the last minute.
When all of this is originally being set up, someone wants us to always fly a certain airline.
Yeah, that's why I flew U.S. Airways Express.
Right, that's not the one you want us to fly on.
No, I flew on U.S. Airways Express.
I know.
Someone doesn't care what airline he flies on, really, to be honest.
You do, though.
What's that?
You don't care anymore?
And, I mean, when we're going to a place like Portland, Maine, I am, maybe this is a bad time to bring it up. When you're going to a place like Portland or a small city, sometimes, you know, just like I prefer to fly on a jet than a turboprop. You know, anything that's going to make it more comfortable and more expeditious to get to the destination, sometimes you got to throw that all out there. When I was flying on that plane and when I took off, I was saying, you guys had left at 6:55, I left at 7 o'clock. I'm landing at 9, and I forgot what your original scheduled arrival time was going to be, something like 11 o'clock or something, 11:30.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, and then I just went, well,
right, I know.
I mean, really, because it is kind of a hassle.
I originally had you on a 777 going into Portland.
That's the landing I'd like to see.
You had to go through L.A., so it was going to be a lot longer flight.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I'll do it again if you want, but because you're going to be out of the equation.
I'd like you to go up there just to speak to that C.
I will. I'll make a phone call to her today.
Thanks.
Yeah. No problem.
American Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
American Eagle. Beware. American Eagle.
I've had problems on that airline before.
Right.
They're the ones that go down south. If you ever go like to one of those little islands and stuff, they do all of that.
Yes. Generally, you know, whenever you go on a plane that's got, when you're on an Indiana Jones plane,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's got propellers,
it's an adventure.
You're gonna have problems.
Yes. I think really commuter airlines, I think they cancel those planes every day, hundreds of them, and I think that they don't. It happens so often now because there's so much more flight scheduled. I mean, they turn them around with an hour to spare. I think it's matter of fact for the people that run those commuter airlines.
Yeah. That's it. That's the Charlie Broyhill show.
Whew.
You missed it. I mean, we didn't do it.
Well, I missed it. Actually.
You had to see it.
Right.
You would have been like us. You would have been laughing, but you would have been laughing so that Charlie wouldn't know that you were laughing.
But then everybody got home and was well rested.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Let's try to give away this money now. God knows we're close, and I'm such a dope. I gave away the answer a couple hours ago, but the guy on the phone didn't get it.
And the guy that calls, or the gal that calls, they might not know it either.
If you think you know the secret sound, be the 100th caller right now at 877-363-3630.
Fatal aneurysm.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Edward King is the baby's name. Someday he'll be in the Baby Hall of Fame. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King is the baby's name. Kiss your brother.
With a reminder not to say yes, yes to the no, no.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Kiss your brother. Cannon Edward King is the baby's name.
Pretty clever. I wrote this morning at breakfast.
All right, here's Larry King's column today.
Oh, good.
Right ahead of caller 100. It's full of the usual crap. I'm not going to waste your time with it. But here's the one paragraph that caught me.
Cannon Edward King is the baby's name. Kiss your brother.
We spent time last week at the hot new Baccarat Resort and Spa, 15 minutes north of Santa Barbara in sunny Southern California. This is a terrific spot with great facilities, really good food, excellent service, beautiful surroundings. The setting's very Mediterranean, and if you've got the money, it's well worth it.
Oh.
It cost us $5,400 for two nights.
What pompous ass.
Including purchases in some shops. It's not for everybody, but it really is grand.
You know, God, it's just, what a loser.
Attention journalists, I paid. One thing that bugged me, they serve coffee in the spa with no skim milk available.
Oh, God.
What a dick.
King Larry telling everybody what he spent.
What a dick.
Now, how many Americans, seriously, can afford that? And he's putting that in a national
newspaper.
None that
I know.
I mean, he's putting that in a national newspaper.
And I find it hard to believe.
Like $6,000 for two nights.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, you know what? We've done this before where we've called hotels to see if Larry really paid.
Right.
You might have to get the number because if he really did pay $5,400 for two nights, why did he write them a three-paragraph ad in today's USA Today?
Interesting.
Right? You follow what I'm saying?
Well, no, I'll tell you exactly. I don't doubt for a second that he probably paid that.
Mm-hmm.
If he put it in the paper, he probably paid that.
Yeah.
You know that he didn't pay for his dinner. He got something for nothing.
Or the next visit may be free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe they put him in a better room.
They probably upgraded him. Yeah, even though he spent that kind of money, they probably put him in the star suite. Where's my skim milk?
I is liking.
What, you don't have any skim milk?
No, we have a half and a half or not.
No skim milk? It's a spa.
For my coffee?
I'm paying $5,400 for two nights, including purchases.
We bought some stuff in the shops, like my fake shoulders.
It's not for everyone.
You probably wouldn't enjoy it, John Q. Citizen, but I'm Larry Zyger King.
I went out and spent in one weekend what most Americans bring home in 2 months.
Hi, how are you? Yes, sir. Oh, this is good. No skim milk. No skim milk in my spa.
And I'm going to write about it in my column today.
He's walking around in a robe, takes it off, probably smells like Bengay and ass.
More like ass than Bengay. Hold on, you got the note. Oh, I forgot, we're doing a caller 100 here. Okay, then we'll follow up on this Lay King.
Good.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, so my caller 100?
Yes, yeah, you sure are. Hi, what's your name?
Corey from Rochester, New York.
Corey, you have won a WWF Judgment Day prize pack. That is from Comcast and Cox Cable. WWF Judgment Day in demand, live in your home, Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Are you one of the famous Coreys, like Haim or Feldman?
No, I guess not.
Everybody else, call Comcast or Cox Cable now to order. Corey, are you ready to go for $500?
I certainly am.
All right, Secret Sound number 4. Do you think you have it?
I might. I've heard it, but I may know it.
Uh-huh. Okay, did you hear the clue I gave last time?
No, I did not.
All right, I bet the money's safe.
Yep, we'll see what happens.
Who knows, if you get it, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Lay King.
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
This prick is out spending $5,400 for two nights at a hotel. And we are running through Logan Airport to catch our $89 flight. We give them away the money. It's courtesy Main Street Title.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is the Chachi Man. The Man. Oh, we love the Chachi Man. The Chachi Man.
Yes.
Ruckus. Ruckus. And then what king is the baby's name?
For $500... Lay it on us. What's the sound?
Is it putting a tape into a tape recorder in the car?
Wrong.
Hello.
So cruel. Putting a tape into a tape recorder in a car.
Right. You know,
who has a tape recorder in their car?
Well, the tape machine.
Well, no, either
I have a reel to reel, Mike.
Hold on a sec.
No, it's wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I used to live in Massachusetts and had to go through Logan.
Yeah.
Time. I agree. That is one of the worst airports. But instead of taking another flight to Portland, couldn't you guys have just rented a car? It's like 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive from there.
We considered it as we were sitting in the cafe or the diner or whatever that
was. I specifically asked when I was up there, I asked somebody, how far is it? I think somebody at the hotel, and they said 90 minutes. 90 minutes at that hour of the morning, probably, to get down to Boston.
Oh, my God.
Damn. Get down to Logan.
Yeah, all that time we wasted.
Maybe an hour and 45, tops.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Yes. And don't forget that every guest is a clue for you. Clue for you.
Cannon Edward King is the baby's name.
Kiss your brother.
Hey, kiss your brother.
How about when we come back, we'll call this place.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be Larry and what's his brother's name?
Larry Zeiger and what is his brother's name?
Oh, my God. You know what, we'll research it during the commercials. Yeah. Maybe, Rob, you can call and tell them that, you know, they're on CBS. Larry and his brother are on CBS radio right now.
All right.
And Larry would like to talk about his great experience.
Right. Did he get skim milk in the spa?
Did you see?
Well, you'll be Larry and I'll be the brother.
Did you see what my brother wrote about your place in his newspaper column?
I loved it. It was fantastic. We're wondering if we can get a free stay.
what did my brother get for free?
All right, tell him what I got for free.
And hold on. What is the brother's name?
I don't know.
Larry Zeiger. And what's the other? Does anybody know? Hello. Hey, what's Larry?
Andrew?
What's Larry King's brother's name? Hello?
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I just wanted to guess on that secret sound. That guy's a moron.
Yeah, I know he's a moron. Sorry, honey. No, he already guessed. You,
Marty.
Wait until that guy.
Marty.
That's right, Mike. Thank you. Marty Zeiger.
Yeah, I'm here with my brother, Marty. Marty wants to know what we got.
I'm doing my radio show right now.
Hi.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Marty. Boy, do we have a great time at Spa Baccarat.
All right, hold on. We'll come right back, and we'll see if Larry got anything for free after the bill.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Always remember, WWDAMD, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, what would Don and Mike do?
Yeah, baby.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, this is Scott, the guy who ate the goldfish the other day at the talent show.
You're the man, Scott. Scott, the goldfish guy. Hi.
I just wanted to give you guys an update on the following day.
You know, as a matter of fact, I think when we were all together in Portland, we were wondering what your BM was like the next day.
Well, there weren't any actual visible fish parts, much to my disappointment, but it smelled just awful.
Ugh.
See, it was a painful situation. That and the pain of knowing that I had disqualified myself.
Were we discussing, Rob, maybe that some of the fish would actually have
whole,
come through whole, and if the fish had come out the backwards way.
I don't think there's any way with the stomach acid that the fish could come out whole.
But then I had another beer, and I thought that some of them would live. That's what I was hoping anyway.
That's the beer.
Uh-huh.
Nothing lived. I don't think the butter did them any good. But
you deserve a round of applause.
Yeah.
That was an outstanding act.
Great.
You know, you would have been our winner, really, if there wasn't that rule that you couldn't transfer the prize.
No, that's the tough part. Hey, who won the second prize anyway? I didn't get the chance to listen on Friday.
You mean on the internet?
The lady that made her
boobs dance.
Oh, man, that's a ripoff.
Well, you know, guys love seeing boobs on the internet.
Just a key.
Yeah, well, can't blame them for that.
Let me tell you something, sir. Hold on a second. This is just a key element. The next time you're going to do one of those incredible goldfish eating things, and we've never seen that much goldfish consumption.
42, I think, was the total.
You bring 45. Someone in. You bring another person. You bring an assistant, okay?
Yeah.
And have her be topless.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking my wife will probably go for that the next time.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
When's the next talent show? I'm ready for it. I'm coming up with some good ideas for you.
All right. Stay with us. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
See you later.
Later.
I know an awful lot of people who tuned into that webcast, and one thing I heard from a lot of people about it was, wow, some of those girls are pretty ugly.
Right.
And I said, as far as our contests go, it was about average.
Not bad.
We have had strip trivias that have been unbelievable.
We have also had them...
Unbelievably good, you mean?
Unbelievably good. We have also had them unbelievably bad.
Mm-hmm. But
they're always fun, and it doesn't matter because it's entertaining either way, and it's worth watching
real people. All I know is that I had a couple of guys say it really ruined it for me. Now, these are the same guys who have said to me for years and years, some of the guys who live in my studio have always said, oh, I can't imagine being there in the studio and seeing what goes on. And I've said to them, hey, listen.
We paint a pretty nice picture.
You know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings when they're in here. And frankly, a naked chick is a naked chick. And sometimes a naked girl does come on, and you just go, wow, goddamn, that's like something out of Playboy.
Right.
But for them, it was a true coming-of-age experience to be, or not coming-of-age, to be able to see the girls as they were on the show.
I know my wife actually was pleased.
Yeah. I bet she was. I bet she was.
Yeah, she, you know, I think you and I have for years have said, hey, come on. Come on. There was that, you know the one I'm talking about. There was that one strip trivia, too, where we sat here and they all came walking in and they were exactly like the celebrity that they said they most resembled. Mm-hmm. There was like nine women, and it was, we were giving away some incredible prize for it.
Yeah,
and,
when you give away a really great prize, like, well, like, the talent show was good because we're giving away the $5,000 eye surgery.
Yeah. Usually it's a trip to some exotic location.
Right. That brings out the real hotties.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, listen, beware next week when we're in New York, because I think we're just giving away cash. But I think we've always seen hot women on the street in New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see some of the world's finest supermodels on the streets of New York.
One of our first weeks, I was able to talk a girl off the street to come up to play the nude feud, and she wasn't bad looking, as I recall.
No, she was not bad.
And, I mean, that was just from a cold approach on the street. Right, so there's a shot.
Oh, and tomorrow we're going to have the information about how folks listening to us tonight on WNEW in New York can, in fact, register via the internet to play Strip Trivia live next week in the WNEW studios.
Very exciting.
All right, Rob.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to be calling this number here and ask for someone and say you're calling for the Larry King radio show on CBS Radio Westwood One.
Okie doke.
They'll go on the air with Larry and his brother Marty
to talk about the fabulous resort and when they can all come back again.
Hi.
I'm going to ask for the concierge.
Hi, it's Larry King. I'm here with my brother Marty.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Marty. Boy, we had a great time when we went to Africa.
Great breakfast. Boy, we had some great egg creams, didn't we, in Zaire?
Fantastic egg creams.
Thank you.
Are you on hold?
Getting the concierge.
Concierge. Perfect. There's nothing quite like this place.
Hi, is this the concierge?
Great location.
Hi, Keeley. This is Rob Stein with CBS Radio. How are you?
Doesn't Larry King work for Westwood One Radio?
Yes. Yeah, it says so at the bottom of his column.
I don't know.
But the show is on the air right now. Did you see what Larry wrote about your spa in the column today?
Yeah. Larry King appears nightly on CNN and the Westwood One Radio Network.
How he and his wife had a great time out there. We wondered if you could come on the air with us and speak for Larry and his brother. Who could? Thank you. She's checking.
Rob Stein. And it's, you can say Westwood One, so technically we're not far off since we are on Westwood One.
Right. That makes you feel better.
Hi.
Lovely music on hold. It's guitars.
So, what did the concierge say?
It was Keeley.
Hey, Rob, when you talk to the next person, throw in a Larry Kingman. Just throw it away, really. You know, did you catch the column? Just throw a Kingman. Just drop the man at the end of that, so they won't hear it. Just do it.
Why?
that down the road thing. I have visions of Philbin dancing in my head.
Live in the now. Live in the now. I don't think there's a chance that Larry's as close friends with that other guy as Regis was.
Yeah, one time we did a Regis bit. We got into Regis's voicemail.
Yeah. Regis called the president of CBS.
Mm-hmm. We got in a little trouble.
Yeah,
for
pretty upset.
Oh, bygone.
Let bygones be guarding us. Besides, you know what? If anybody's dumb enough to know when we're doing this, hey!
I mean, it's an excuse because we're giving them breakfast. How is your breakfast?
For your breakfast.
I love this song. Hold on.
Concierge, I believe. Who am I speaking to?
Here we go.
Hi, Adele. My name is Rob Stein from Westwood One Radio. How are you? good. I'm calling on behalf of the Larry King radio show. Did you see Larry's column in the USA Today show?
Long answer.
I understand. It's a lovely write-up. It's about two paragraphs, and Larry's on the air right now with his brother, and he is wondering if he's moment to come on the air with him. Yeah, Mr. King is on the air right now on Westwood One, and it's him and his brother, Marty. So it's Larry King and Marty Zeiger. So if you can hold, come on, you're going to be on the air with Larry and Marty. And your name was Adele? Thank you, Adele. Please hold for us.
Excellent.
Larry, okay. You have Adele on line 9.
Okay. You ready, Mr. King?
Yeah. Hi, we're here with Adele. She's from the spa, and I'm here with Marty, and we've got Adele. Hi, Adele. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
We love your place. It's great spa. We just love it. Hey, have you worked on getting the skim milk in the spa?
Oh, you requested that. Yes, we try to accommodate every guest's request, of course.
I'm here with my brother, Marty. Say hi to Marty.
Hi, Marty.
Hi, Adele.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Have you been up to the resort yet?
No, my brother doesn't take me. I have a question about my famous brother, Larry.
Go ahead, Marty. Ask away.
Now, he wrote in his column today, in USA Today,
yeah,
the price of two nights at your hotel, which, for a working man like myself,
sure,
it's impossible to believe. My brother grew up in the Bronx.
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. I'm very curious.
He drank egg creams.
Yeah, lots of.
He played stickball with Sandy Koufax.
I sure did. Lots of fun.
I think it's incredible he's come this far. But frankly, I want to ask you something. He writes here in his column.
You're a troublemaker, Marty.
Larry, I've got to ask this question.
Go ahead. Ask away.
He writes, attention journalists, I paid. My question is, I don't doubt my brother did pay.
Sure, of course I paid.
He wouldn't have written that in his column.
Right, I paid.
I'd be talking about it on his radio show, but what did you spiff him? Did you give him any robes? Did you give him any free meals?
No, you know what? We didn't. We're nothing but service, sir. And service is something that you just can't put a cap on.
I agree, but did you get the skim milk in the restaurant? Because, you know, although if I don't have skim milk, I get the gas.
We have definitely done that per your request. Actually, once a guest requests something,
yes,
we put it on an archive so that we can always have it here again.
That's
so
fantastic.
When they do arrive back, which I'm certainly hoping,
that's
they'll
great.
Be here back soon with us.
And we'll come back real soon. Can you give my brother Marty a free room when he comes back?
We'll do what we can for Marty, but free, that would be a little tough for us.
Free! I love that word.
I mean, the concierge can pretty much do whatever they can, but free would be a tough one, sir.
My brother will not sell me. Can you tell me, did he bring his delightful children with him, or did he leave them with a nanny?
You know, for discretionary purposes, I won't be able to share that with you.
Oh, Marty, you're such a troublemaker. is there any way you can send my brother Marty a robe?
You want us to?
Sure. Would you please? You understand, I am the brother of the most famous journalist.
Me,
in America. And everywhere I go, I say, I'm Marty Zeiger.
Would you like to hear a song that I wrote about Marty? I wrote this morning. Would you like to hear the song?
Sure, let's hear that song.
He's a nice guy. He is a good guy. He is the Marty guy. The Marty Zeiger man. How I love the Marty Zeiger man. He's my brother. You like that?
You're making me blush, Larry.
I'm sorry, Marty.
You're really making me blush.
Hey, Adele.
Yes, sir.
Tell Marty how good the breakfast are.
How good what was?
How good breakfast.
Breakfast was?
We love breakfast. We love breakfast. It's our favorite meal of the day.
Breakfast.
We do. We love it. Hey, listen, maybe you can tell on my brother's show, he's a little looser than he is on the television.
Yeah, rock and roll, hoochie coo.
I don't think about that.
I'm going to embarrass my brother right now.
Go ahead, Marty. You're the only one I let embarrass me.
And Larry, you can answer, or maybe Adele can answer.
Sure.
First, let me ask you, at your spa, are there dirty movies available in the rooms?
No.
Yeah,
we don't have those.
You don't?
No, we don't.
Oh, that's right. I brought my own. Oh, Larry.
Yeah, a suitcase full.
Because I was wondering if my
200 titles.
I was wondering if my brother had ordered any. Can you tell me something? When my brother, the very famous Larry King, he went to a hotel, when people would stop him for an autograph, was he generally
friendly with people, or was he surly with people?
Very friendly and very approachable.
Thank you, Adele. You're very sweet to
it's
say
true,
that.
It's true, though. Okay.
It's true. I'm Larry King, the friendliest guy in the world. Hey, Adele.
Yes.
I wrote a song about you.
You did?
She is a nice gal. She is a friendly gal. She is a sweetie gal. She is the Adele gal. The little Adele gal. Oh, I love the Adele gal. Adele gal. And thanks, Adele.
You're very welcome.
So you're
Thank you.
You're telling me for the record that my brother, in fact, did pay retail to stay at your fabulous spa?
I can't tell you what he paid, but...
Well, he wrote in the newspaper today he spent $5,400,
and it was worth every nickel
for two nights, including purchases in some shops.
Yes, wonderful purchases.
A luxury boutique, yes.
He had great dinners, great breakfasts, great snacks, great times in the spa, great rubdowns. It was a good time.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Hey, Adele.
Yes.
I wrote a song about the spa.
You did.
Would you like to hear it?
About the spa, right?
Yeah, yeah. What's it? It's Baccarat, right?
It's Baccarat, yes.
Baccarat, yes.
Baccarat.
Oh, what a nice spa. This is a great spa. This is a friendly spa. This is the Bagra spa. The lovely Bagra spa. How I love the Bagra spa. The Bagra spa.
If I could ask you one final question. It's Marty again. You know, a lot of people...
Go ahead, Marty.
They don't know I'm Larry's brother because I retain the family name Zyga. My brother, I want to tell you something. He's a wonderful man, however...
I am a wonderful man.
I read in the newspaper he spends $5,400 to go to your hotel over the weekend in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
I ask him today for $20 for gasoline. He won't give me a dime. I'm his brother. Adele, would you please tell him to give his brother $20?
Larry, my God, give your brother $20.
Well, you know, there's a story behind that. I wrote a song about it. Would you like to hear it, Adele?
Oh, my God.
Another song, Larry?
I am a cheap guy. I am a cheap guy. I am the cheapy guy. I am the cheapy man. The little cheapy man. How I love the cheapy man. The cheapy man.
I want to show you one last thing about my brother. And this I really mean. He stole all of the soaps. He stole all of the mouthwashes.
That's a lie. That's a lie. I'll cut you off without a cent.
Uh-huh.
And I bet...
And who hasn't done that?
See, she's protecting me.
What about the robes, Brother Larry?
Don't tell her about the robes.
And what about... The towels?
The towels. They're all in my suitcase.
The pillows. No, I'm kidding. My brother's so rich, he could buy and sell you and me in that hotel 20 times over.
I have a lot of money. I make a lot of money.
And the great thing about my brother is he makes a lot of money, and he's not afraid to tell people.
Then I spend it.
He makes it. He spends it.
I spend lots of it, and I spend it again. Except on you, Marty. You don't get a $20. Hey, you know, we're going to have to go pretty soon. Would you like to hear my goodbye song?
Yes, and then I'm going to have to go, too. I'm in the middle of the lobby.
This is goodbye now. This is some fun now. We had a good time with Adele. What do you think? Do you like that? I wrote it at breakfast.
Well, you did a great job. Thank you very much.
Did my brother leave any stains in his room?
Oh, Marty, behave yourself.
Oh, my God. Now I really have to get off the phone.
Okay.
Pleasure meeting to speak with you.
Will you hold on, please, for my address for my free robe?
Oh. Okay.
Please, thank you. Just had to hear the one. Hold on, please. Our producer will be on. Larry?
Yeah, that's it. You're listening to me. Larry, hold on.
Hi, Adele.
Oh,
thanks so much for taking the time. The boys had a great time. Larry's still a little handy. Can I give you an address? You should send Marty his robe. MARTIN-CEIDR-Woodwine. And you can send that to 10-800-10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030.
This shoe's going to drop at some point, yeah.
800 Main Street.
That's when they're going to go there. Now that they've got the address, that's when it's really going to begin. Check this out, the full background check.
Oh, God bless. We'll get out there soon. Bye then. She wrote it down. What'd
she
say?
She wrote it down. Great. A robe for Marty.
Fantastic. I hope she liked my songs I wrote.
This is a nice robe. This is a free robe. This is a Larry robe.
A stinky Larry robe.
How we love the Larry robe.
The Larry robe.
Yeah.
What a dope
she was.
Larry and Marty. Got a break?
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike Show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy, be good, be kind to your neighbors, try to follow the golden rule, and stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more.
Hey, Larry, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book for G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read?
What are you doing with
this? This is for Don and Mike.
Huge fan.
Huge
fan.
On him when he walks out.
She doesn't like that.
She's never seen me pound.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
I will indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
Broadcasting northern voices for southern ears.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Because it requires intelligence.
And remind of the time I took over that show on.
It requires intelligence.
Hey there, Kim from Brooklyn. Hey there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My buddy.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Tom.
How have you been, Tom?
How you doing?
Hey, hold on, Tom. I got someone who wants to say hi to you.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike. Hello?
Hey, what's up? This is not Tom. This is Elmo St. Bud.
Okay, Tom.
Hello?
Yes, Tom. Can I help you?
Hello? This is Major Bill.
Okay, Bill.
I'm very sick.
You're now listening to Tom Gavin talk to Dennis Murphy.
I can move to a group home.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Okay, whatever.
Watch it.
Oh, Mom, it's clear. You give me a little group home.
No, I don't. Watch
you
it.
Don't?
Watch it.
Tom, let me ask you, why are you so jealous of Dennis Murphy?
I want to go down to
the beach house.
If they don't execute Timmy LeVay, you know who they're going to execute?
Who?
Dennis Murphy.
Oh, dear. That's very hateful there, Tom. Tom, why are you so jealous of Dennis?
Because he does a lot of stuff.
And, Dennis, why are you so
uncomfortable?
Resentful.
I'm not uncomfortable, Tom.
I think Dennis is a little jealous of Tom, also.
I'm not jealous. No, why should I be jealous of Tom?
You're filled with malice for him.
Hey, you know what? I think we should right now have a secret ballot about who we like best. Dennis or Tom?
Okay.
Everybody, please take out a little piece of paper.
Oh, geez.
And write down who they like best, Dennis or Tom. No, Rob, you can't write abstain. You have to vote.
Underline abstain.
You have to choose.
Oh, he underlined abstain. Okay. Who do you like better, Dennis or Tom?
There's my vote.
Okay, there's one vote. It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Should we reveal the voting?
Yes.
Or should we have Lisa come in and break the tie?
Yeah, Lisa should break the
tie.
Yeah,
Lisa, come good. Break the tie. Who do you like better, Dennis or Tom?
Excellent idea.
Excellent way.
It was 2-2. Well, just say it. Don't write it down, Lisa. We all know it's your vote.
It's more fun to write it down, though.
All right, well, go ahead and write it down.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tom's just bad.
Who do you like better?
Okay.
I mean, we like both these guys fine, but, sure. But you know, there is a kind of rivalry between the two of them.
There's no rivalry between Tom and I.
Well, I like them in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Does that count?
Well, yes.
The winner is Tom.
All right, now let's reveal how we voted. No, Buzz, I think it's important to clear the air.
All right.
Well, it's because Buzz and I are going to be the most ashamed. Buzz and I voted for Tom.
Yeah.
Mike and Rob voted for Dennis.
And then Lisa broke the tie by voting for Tom.
Hey, congratulations, Tom.
Thank you.
You can close it.
Yep.
I was just kidding.
We were all just kidding.
We were all just kidding.
No. Listen, Dennis.
Yes, Mr. Gilano.
Dennis, are you going to be cool with going to... Buzz, when is the McVeigh execution now?
Terre Haute in June 11th now. It's possible. That's a tentative date.
Yes, I did make reservations, and right now I'm stuck.
All right, so... Why don't you go to Terre Haute anyway?
I'll go when the execution happens.
You can't get in the building.
That's right, Tom.
I know, Tom.
That's Tom Gavin saying that.
Tom, hey Tom, could you get in the building?
Yes, I got a special pass. I got my FCAC pass. I can get in anywhere I want.
You're what? What pass do you have? What?
My FCAC pass. I can get anywhere I want.
What is that? What does that stand for?
It says Fairfax Cable Access Corporation.
Oh, of course. Okay.
You're a press pass.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you think you'd like be able to get right in where they're going to do it?
Yep.
Don't you think it would be sort of zany to send Dennis to the original date and pretend to have him cover it?
That's
like,
what I mean.
Like it's really happening.
That's why I said
you should. Like, send Dennis down there tomorrow and then send me down there on June 11th.
Well, Dennis, if you've got the tickets, why don't you just go tomorrow?
Yeah, why don't you go tomorrow, Dennis?
Well, I wouldn't go work that I'm going to be working this week. So, it's going to be tough for me getting off work.
All right, if you could each ask Timothy McVeigh one question, what would it be? Tom, what would you ask Timothy McVeigh if you could ask him one question?
Why don't you build up Oklahoma City?
Right. Why'd you blow up Oklahoma City?
Excellent.
All right. And Dennis, what would your question for Timothy McVeigh be?
Timothy McVeigh, what were you thinking?
And great questions, both of them.
Also good.
Two fine journalists.
Dennis? Yes.
Dennis, why are you getting defensive?
I thought you were being sarcastic.
Not at all. No. Have I ever been sarcastic about you?
I know.
Isn't that how Ed Bradley started the interview last night? What were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
All right, now here's another one for you.
Yeah.
Tom goes first. Tom, Perry Como just died. If you could say anything to Perry Como right before he died, any question, what would you have asked him?
I said, why didn't you sing anything but love songs?
Good question, Tom.
Well,
Dennis, what would you have asked Perry Como before he died?
Perry Como, I love your songs. You were nice, you're charming, and... Well, I understand. And you were great to those people. And I was going to ask them, why are you such a nice man?
Tom's question's better.
Yeah.
Tom wins that round.
Yeah. All right, here's another question. Because what I'm doing now is trying to decide, really, who we're going to send to cover the McVeigh execution, if it's Dennis or Tom. I'm reading here in the paper that Michael Stipe, shocker, he's a homo.
What?
Rob, I know. I was as surprised as you.
Wow.
Lead singer of R.E.M. is out of the closet.
Right.
So if you could ask Michael Stipe any question about his gayness, Tom, what would you ask him?
Hey, Michael Shike, why are you gay for?
Okay, very good, Tom.
And Dennis, what would your question be?
Hey, Michael, how you doing? So how do you like the octopus?
Tom, Dennis, you should know we're playing this seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Don, Nicole Kidman's in the news today. We should have a question with a woman.
Yes, now, as a matter of fact, Nicole Kidman is being stalked by some dick with a website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he wanted the guy wanted to take her out for ice cream.
Yes. So, Tom, if you were to speak to Nicole Kidman about what it's like to be a celebrity yet crave your privacy, what kind of question would you ask Nicole Kidman about being if she's being stalked?
I like it at her point.
Very good, Tom.
And Dennis, what would you ask Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman, is Tom Cruise really gay?
Ah, good. Dennis, excellent. Gotta give the nod to Dennis on that one.
Yep. Right, Dennis gets that one.
Although I think Tom's was pretty strong also.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'd like to F her blank.
I know, you
said that.
Fuzzy. The Mummy was the number one movie again.
Tom, if you could interview Brendan Fraser, star of The Mummy, you could ask him anything. What would you ask him?
I said, how's your movie doing?
Excellent question, Tom.
How's your movie doing? Dennis, what would you ask Brendan Fraser? What would your opening question be?
Brendan, my question to you is, why... Okay, you star in so many movies. Why haven't you got to that star status? Why haven't you gotten to the 20 million plateau yet?
Excellent question.
Good question.
I have to give the nod to Tom, though.
All right, now, I've got one more here I'm going to ask you guys. Dale Earnhardt, the NASCAR driver, is dead. If you could have spoken to him, who's coughing there?
Bless you, Tom.
Tom. It's me.
If you could have spoken to Dale Earnhardt the moment of the day, the morning of the Daytona 500, knowing what you know now, what would you have asked him? Tom.
I said, why did you wreck your car in the race?
Excellent question. Very good, Tom.
Yes.
My question is, Dale, is your seatbelt buckle?
Oh, no, you both failed out. Was your answer?
Well, no, both of you didn't listen to what Don said.
All right, I'll give you one more. Tina just won on Survivor.
Okay.
Tom, what would you ask Tina, the winner of Survivor?
You want to go on a date?
Very good. Excellent question, Tom. Dennis?
Tina, you lost so much weight during the Survivor Series. Why didn't your breast reduce? You know, your breast was still the same size. Do you have fake breasts?
And, you know, Don, I think since it's a journalism quiz here, the President of the United States, if both of you get a chance to sit down with George W. Bush, the President of the United States, and you're only allowed to ask him one question, any question you choose, what would that question be, Tom?
Tom.
I'd like to come up and help you save the United States.
That's a statement, not a question.
That has to be a question, Tom.
What would you ask George Bush?
George Bush, can I come up and help you?
Very good. Hey, Dennis, you shouldn't shut comment up, on the other no. person.
Shut up, Dennis. Okay. Dennis, if you could ask George Bush one question, what would it be?
Hey, George, do you listen to the Don and Mike show?
Got to give the nod to Dennis on that.
All right.
Very good.
I'm afraid that as it stands right now, Dennis Murphy is still the leading candidate.
He is.
Buzz, were you keeping track of that?
I did, actually. I counted four correct answers for Tom and three correct answers for Dennis.
Correct questions. Oh, very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No problem. I am current on events.
If he gets any closer, we'd have to have a sing-off.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Tom?
What?
Would you please sing your favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd song for us?
Lynyrd Skynyrd song?
Yes.
Like, which one?
Whichever is your favorite.
I don't know any Lynyrd Skynyrd song.
Yes, you do, Tom.
How about Sweet Home Alabama?
I don't know that one.
About Freebird?
Nope.
About What's Your Name? I'll ask you, Dennis, same question. Tom, you lose points for not knowing any Skynyrd songs. Mm-hmm. Dennis, could you sing your favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd song for us?
Sweet Home Alabama. I want Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, Dennis has proven he knows lyrics, but as far as who can sing the loudest any song right now, this is basically a volume competition. Tom, you have to sing your loudest song, and Dennis has to sing his loudest song. Whoever's loudest wins this phase.
Go!
Hey, wait a minute, I gotta get something.
No, Tom, you can't. Go. You can't play along with the record.
Sing solo.
Ready? Go!
Murphy, go.
Gentlemen,
guys, you both sing at the same.
Very simple instructions.
You sing at the same time.
Okay.
Whoever's the loudest will win this phase.
Just sing loud without the record, Tom. Without the record, okay? Tom.
He's gone. He's getting the record.
Dennis, you're going to have to give Tom a chance to get his record.
Okay.
Wait. Hold on. Dennis. Oh, hold on.
No, same time.
Tom, are you ready?
Not that one.
Oh, God. Miami is 20.
You'll find one in a minute.
Just let him prepare.
Come on. Hurry up, Tom.
Hello.
Okay, you know what? I've not decided yet who's going to Terre Haute to cover the next execution.
Tom sure didn't sing very loud.
I did, too.
No, you didn't.
You both should keep your schedule open, though it's June 11th, Buzz.
Okay. It could change.
Yeah, all right. But, yeah. Both of you, keep your schedules open.
Okay. And just want to let you know, I got in an accident last weekend.
Ooh.
Ooh, where? I don't know. Let that look. Oh, good luck. I got it in the parking lot. is the car, the car's fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we don't even need to be here for this, though.
No, we don't.
Get your gook on.
Dennis, are you available to be in the all-gay Memorial Day Miller Lite Beach House over the Memorial Day week?
I can stay till Memorial Day because I can't. I don't have no time at work, so I can stay till Monday.
Beautiful. Well, Dennis, we would like you to be the only hetero man to be in the beach house with all the gays and the lesbians.
Oh, no problem.
Let him do it. Let me do it.
Tom, well. Now, Tom, we thought of Dennis first for this.
Okay. No, it'll be my privilege to be with a homo on that weekend.
Excellent. Now let's see who has the friendliest goodbye.
Tom, you start. All right, Dennis.
This is my breath. Gone in life.
What are you doing?
You're cracking Rob up, Tom.
Hello.
All right, Dennis. We're ready for you.
Hello.
We're ready.
Hello.
Where's your friendly goodbye, Dennis? Goodbye.
Gone in life. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
Is it driving you crazy that we could have gone to news about 5 minutes ago, but we just have Dennis and Tom screaming at each other right now?
I'm loving this.
This time, bye-bye in the news.
All right, goodbye, both of you guys.
Make sure you go to GuinnessMovie.com, please.
GuinnessMovie.com, my t-shirt.
They both have websites.
Hey, so if you're out there listening, just Tom.
Hey, not you, I'm talking. Hey, Don.
Yes, Tom.
Hey, this guy's name, his name is Korean 840.
Who?
Korean. Yeah, he's bugging the hell out of me and everything else. Green, if you don't stop it, I'm telling Don and Mike.
What else?
Yeah.
Hey, what else are you going to do to him, Tom?
I'm going to kill him.
Okay.
Tom, you couldn't do that on the air.
I don't know about
that. They bleeped it out.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't bleep it out.
Good.
You shouldn't say that, Tom. That's bad.
You don't want to kill anybody, Tom.
All right.
Except maybe people who deserve it.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
Good.
Anybody's on the internet, go to the websites.
Tom, just for curiosity, what's for dinner tonight?
No, I don't know. I gotta cook it.
Oh, no. You're electric. You nuts, we gotta go. All right, goodbye, Tom. Goodbye, Dennis.
Lily Lowe, hello. I'll see you later.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Oh, hello. Okay, what's the bug?
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Tom. I'm gone.
Goodbye.
And they're both gone.
You've been listening to Face the Nation.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz me.
He made it up.
You know, individually they can both drive us crazy, but right. Together,
magic.
In short little doses like that,
they bring us a lot of joy.
They do. Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news in the comments?
Tonight, the noose tightens around Robert Blake.
Ooh. Told ya.
Wow.
Just a week ago, I predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll get the latest from Buzz on Beretta right after this. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very professional.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show. Another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Chinstrap to tell you more.
This Friday, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show hits the Delmarva area at the Rusty Rudder, 113 Dickinson Street in Dewey Beach, Delaware. You've got to be 21 to get in. The show starts at 8. For information and directions, call 302-227-3888.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss it.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Two handsome, stunning faggots.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Make that three.
Right on, baby.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the news is tightening around actor Robert Blake. Police have reportedly found the murder weapon with one bullet still in the chamber. It matches the bullets used to kill Blake's wife. The gun was found in a dumpster a block and a half from the murder scene. It is a collector's gun, a Walther, carried by German army officers. Blake is a collector. In a search of Blake's home, police found a box of ammunition. It was the same kind of ammo found in the gun. The casings do not, we are told, match exactly. Police reportedly say they also found Blake's home in disarray after the shooting, with graffiti on the walls that read, "I'm not going down for this." And police reportedly say Blake's story doesn't check out. A busboy has reportedly contradicted Blake's claim that he went back into the restaurant to retrieve a gun. Police say they expect to question Blake yet again.
I'd just like to say, if this works out, I broke this last Monday when we called the LAPD.
You know, you're going to get one of your honorary inspector badges.
Yep.
This, you know, Buzz and I had thought that it would be a contract killing.
Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That you guys thought he was involved.
Right.
I thought that nutty bird pulled the trigger.
Well, as an actor, Blake was a loose cannon on the talk show circuit. One of his last TV appearances was on The Late Late Show with Tom Snyder. A New York Post TV critic writes that Blake was angry in that appearance, saying he hated his show Beretta and the psychotherapist who advised him to do the show. He calls the 1970 cop series the rectum of the universe. Quoting him, "Can you believe how crazy I was? I took my shrink on Merv Griffin to sell a book that I wouldn't wipe my butt with. He's lucky he still has his throat. I should have bit a hole in it and sucked his heart out." He also referred to himself as a neurotic nut in that appearance.
Well,
I hate this place.
Hi, Robert.
Nothing works here.
Robert Blake. Well, what's your thoughts, Robert?
This place.
I know.
Nothing works here.
Right.
The medications don't work.
Kill your wife?
I've been here for 7 years.
Is graffiti your walls?
Nothing works here.
Robert?
I hate this place.
Kill your wife?
Nothing works here.
Robert?
The medications don't work.
Beretta?
I've been here for 7 years.
Right.
I hate this place.
All right, there he is, Robert Blake.
7 years.
The Supreme Court says marijuana is illegal, and that goes for its medical use as well.
Sorry, Buzz.
In a major setback for the users of medical marijuana, the court ruled today that there is no exception for folks with AIDS, cancer, or MS.
Well, I guess you can get rid of that fake hacking cough you have all the time.
The vote was 8-0. We don't yet know how this will affect the 9 states that legally allow for medical marijuana.
What are those 9 states?
I don't know exactly. I know California is one of them.
He's playing dumb.
Yes, I know he is.
And there are 8 others I can't name.
You can name them alphabetically.
State Ardingeria.
The Supreme Court today stopped short of striking down those state laws.
Hi.
Argeria.
Hi, I'm not feeling well.
Welcome to Argeria. Our beaches are fabulous. Even though we're landbound. Josetusen.
Timothy McVeigh's co-defendant in the Oklahoma City bombing is once again trying to appeal his conviction. And it's all because of the FBI screw-up that has delayed McVeigh's execution.
To pickle the Duke, useless prick.
Now, lawyers for Terry Nichols are asking the Supreme Court to reconsider his appeal. Still no word on what McVeigh will do now that the FBI foul-up has come to light. The FBI's mishandling of the case has angered Americans and consequently their lawmakers. Congress is talking about investigating the FBI, the FBI's outdated computer system, and specifically how the Bureau so badly bungled this case.
Yeah, really. I mean, kill the MF-er. Just kill him. I mean, he's admitted that he did it.
That's the consensus, yes.
You know, he says, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants the coward's way out. He wants to be killed.
Easy, Doc.
Kill him.
In time.
Kill him. And while you're at it, strap Robert Blake on.
Now, most Americans still have faith in the legal system, according to a poll by Newsweek. But the survey shows that 43% of us think the FBI withheld those Tim McVeigh documents on purpose.
Oh, please. I don't think they had a clue.
40% think it was just a mistake.
And
by the way, the survey shows that 24% of us think that televising executions would deter crime. But 56% of us say that would backfire, turning capital punishment and do entertainment.
100% of us say we'd watch it.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yes, we sick bastards, we would.
Don't freaking watch it. Buzz, hold on, please. You got to do this. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show. Are there times when you have to have fresh breath?
You've got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I forgot.
It's Pete, the Don and Mike Show.
Yo, yo!
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Well, the mayor of New York is impotent and Viagra won't help.
Oh, no.
This is just the kind of stuff Rudy Giuliani
was... Was she, like, karaoke?
Just the kind of stuff Giuliani was trying to keep quiet when he asked the court for a gag order on his divorce case.
So he's impotent?
And according to the court, yes.
He can't get it up?
His estranged wife, Donna Hanover, is fighting the gag order. That's how the impotent story got out at the hearing about the gag order.
He couldn't gag her. He couldn't order her.
Apparently not.
Be gagged.
Their lawyers traded jabs over the weekend. Her lawyer accusing him of flaunting his mistress. His lawyer accusing her of being an uncaring mother. It was his lawyer who dropped the impotence bombshell, trying to take the sting out of the mistress accusation.
So wait a minute. So Giuliana's lawyer says...
My client is impotent.
Well, if he's impotent, this whole thing with Giuliani has been based on his, you know, his F lady.
Well, that's what his lawyer is saying, and that's why he brought it up in court, and now it's out.
His Buckfitch. So they're just companions?
They're very good friends.
She's his Buckfitch.
Well, but he can't.
I bet that's a lie.
Well,
I think it would have to be a lie.
The lawyer revealed...
I mean, you wouldn't do the things he's been doing if it wasn't a sexual situation.
Right.
I mean, well, if you're not going to have sex with her, why would you trade her in on your old wife? Why would you just keep the other wife? If you're just going to talk to him.
Friendship, support, and companionship.
No, I think there would be a sexual thing there. I think this lawyer's a liar.
Well, they've listed the drugs that he's being given to treat his prostate cancer and eliminate your sex drive. They eliminate the testosterone.
Can
the male
he take
hormone
the, you know, he could take the Viagra.
Well, no.
The prostate stuff came on long after this mysterious affair began anyway.
I believe that's correct.
So, I mean, if he's taking medication for his prostate cancer, then perhaps he has become impotent since, but the affair began as a sexual liaison.
That's a reasonable assumption, yes, absolutely.
And he couldn't take the Viagra if he's taking the prostate medicine?
That's what we're told, because it would counter, I guess, what the prostate cancer medicine
is
trying to do.
There's always a pump.
The lawyer revealed that the mayor's treatment for prostate cancer has eliminated his sex drive and precluded the use of Viagra.
But you know what? All that says to me is he must really be in deep S. If he has a meeting, because you know they had to have a meeting, and he says, okay, Rudy, here's what we're going to have to do.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to have a press conference today to announce that you're impotent.
Now, you're probably going to have the legal advantage if we have this press conference, but good luck.
Nice place to be in.
Well, it wasn't a press conference. It was in the hearing, and the mayor, out of this hearing, wanted a gag order so that this wouldn't get out. But his wife, his estranged wife, is fighting
the
gag order.
He's the tough guy. Mayor wants to project that image of potency.
That's why we don't need the porn shops in Times Square anymore.
I want a mayor who can get a boner.
Yeah, sometimes you can run into trouble. You remember Marion Barry. You know, that boner got him into trouble an awful lot.
Washington, D.C. was a fine city, Mike, before he took over, after he was here, and most importantly, while he was here.
Hey,
hi, Don. Hey, I hear Giuliani's impotent.
Yeah, fuzzy.
How about you?
Ah, a blue steel cat couldn't scratch it.
He's still smiling and sweating?
Yeah, smiling, sweating. I that bitch set me up. But I rock on all the time. See you, Camelot.
You buy the Viagra?
No need. It's nice blue. The only thing I like is blue is M&M's.
I like the blue M&M.
He's a prostate cancer patient as well.
Yeah, it didn't affect me that way. Not like Rudy, though.
You got by.
No, I'm just fantastic.
Excellent.
I can go all night. Yeah, 24 hours a day.
The president's younger
I am the big one.
The president's younger brother, Florida Governor Jeb Bush, says he is not having an extramarital affair.
Nice, Bush.
The rumor mill says he is, and the rumors made its way into a couple of Florida newspapers. So today, a reporter asked the governor about this. He called it an outright lie and hurtful. He said he loves his wife of 27 years. For months, though, the bars, offices, and internet have been buzzing with gossip about Bush and a State Department head by the name of Cynthia Henderson.
Oh, here she is. Hold on.
Yeah, here's the question I have to ask you. Would you mind taking off your clothes for me?
Yeah, not. Cynthia Henderson.
Yeah, listen to her.
Oh, my God. I had no idea it was so big.
All right.
That's her talking to the governor.
Jeb Bush says he'll announce next month whether he's running for re-election.
You know, the spirit's been riding on my ass all day long.
No wonder.
Booyah! There's the exchange right there.
Yeah.
What are you doing underneath those blankets?
Come on, Jeb. What are you doing, Jeb?
I'm really glad I met you at the pool today.
Well, is that where they met? So will there or won't there be a video on the market that features Jennifer Lopez having sex?
Rapper, I hope so, Buzz.
Wow. Rapper Suge Knight, who's doing time in a Sacramento jail, said he had a tape of J-Lo and a former boyfriend. He said he would make that tape available to the public for a price.
Great, take off my clothes.
Lopez then sued Knight to stop the video. Then Knight said, no video really exists. So J-Lo dropped her lawsuit. Now, Knight says he will release a film this summer called J-Lo Uncut, The Real Story.
Do you mind if I just sit on it?
No. I'd buy that tape. I'm serious.
Enjoy the video.
Buzz, hold on a second. All right. Got a break. Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
They love their mamas. Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, more and more American men are getting chin implants.
Oh, somebody should tell Jim McClure about that.
It would help him. The perception is a man with a strong chin has strong leadership abilities.
Well, that's why Jim is being fired as the manager here at WJFK.
And with all the corporate cutbacks these days, more men are turning to plastic surgeons to give them a leading edge.
I think you've got to turn from Jim McClure into Jacko.
Quoting one doctor, people with weak chins in the media are portrayed as having weak character.
And when you say Jacko, you don't mean Michael Jackson. You mean the guy that did the Energizer commercials? The
guy that was a guest on our show.
Oi!
Oi!
Huge chin. Do you remember his song, Me Brain Hurts?
The brain hurts.
Me brain hurts.
Me brain hurts.
Me brain hurts.
Oi! The doctor says executives and even salesmen they feel that a strong chin would enhance their credibility. A new chin, by the way, will set you back about $2,500, and the surgery only takes a couple of hours with the patient back at work the next day. It's usually accompanied by neck liposuction to enhance the chin. Now you know.
Too late for McClure.
Never too late. Hey, homie, nice pants. The era of the baggy pants may be over. A Los Angeles gang specialist says it's getting harder to spot gang members because they've started wearing nicer clothes, shirts, and slacks.
Sensible slacks.
Trousers. Yes. The law has started tacking on longer sentences, you see, for crimes if the suspect has gang connections. So the boys in the hood are now looking preppier. Quoting a former gang member, everyone's going low pro. Baggy pants is out of style now.
Yo, yo, see you at L.L. Bean, yo, yo!
Man, that was like letting the police know. Now, quoting the police gang specialist, you can't tell who the bad guys are.
Yo, yo, Eddie Bauer!
Yo,
yo! Yo,
yo!
Yo, the gap!
Yo. Oregon is no longer suggesting that its citizens on welfare dig through the garbage.
Why?
A company hired by the state to screen welfare clients put together a tip sheet.
The tips include shopping at thrift stores and garage sales and clipping coupons.
Those are good tips.
It also says...
Another program director in New York doesn't do every day.
It also says, and I quote, check the dump and residential and business dumpsters.
Oh, here's something.
So what?
Here's something good.
State officials say the garbage tip is demeaning, and quoting one official, we shot ourselves in the foot on this.
So what?
Look at my news vanity.
It's a good tip.
Every town has its problems. In India, in the New Delhi suburb of Ghaziabad, the problem is man-monkey. It's actually a man in a monkey suit who's carried out crazed attacks on people in Ghaziabad.
He is truly out of his mind.
There was a man-monkey at Logan Airport on Saturday, running through, hitting the emergency button, spitting on windows.
For the love of God, stop that man-monkey.
Police say there's no truth to the rumor. It's a genetic scientist who experimented on himself, and that rumor is circulating.
I've turned myself into a man-monkey.
More than a dozen people have been mauled by the man-monkey. Some have injured themselves trying to get away, ending up with broken bones and the like.
Run, it's the man-monkey.
Booyah!
Send him a monkey grab.
The man-monkey neither robs nor sexually assaults his victims.
Unfortunately.
One man claims he saw the man-monkey jump 20 feet into the air. Thousands of parents have sent their children out of town during this, and the people in that industrial suburb are staying indoors.
I'm going to Walt Disney World.
Because of the man-monkey.
His name is Gibbon. Gibbon. I always get that wrong. It's Gibbon, not Gibbon.
Gibbon the man-monkey.
A school bus driver in Florida is out of a job for apparently failing to stop an attack on an 11-year-old. Officials in Daytona Beach say the boy had stepped in some dog poo and tracked it through the bus as he boarded for school.
Eat my snot, you hemorrhoid.
A lot of the other kids teased him about it, and one of them caught this whole thing on videotape. Officials say the tape shows three students smearing the feces on the boy's clothing and face.
Oh, my.
The tape supposedly shows the bus driver shaking hands with the pupil who wiped feces on the boy's face.
Boy, and then licking his finger. I mean, what? They were just using the... They were just wiping poop on the... And the kid's face.
The driver says he didn't see anything. He's been fired.
Thank you, Buzz.
Nice job wiping the poop on his face.
Yeah.
Thank you. 877.
See you tomorrow morning.
469-3636. That's a phone number. Be assertive now. Be the 100th caller. Win a prize. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show. A.K.A. Harvey Joel Fisher.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's Box has been opened.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
And the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please stop talking about you.
But despite all of his tough talk, Harvey Joel pussies out just 24 hours later.
Harvey.
Good morning.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again, keeping America safe. So remember what we've learned. Don't f*** with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. And God bless America.
Jesus effing Christ. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, the St. Louis Blues hope to take home a split of their first two NHL Western Conference final games in Denver. The Blues and Colorado Avalanche meet tonight in the second game of their best-of-seven playoff series. The Dallas Mavericks have survived one elimination game and now face another. The Mavs down 3-1, play the Spurs in San Antonio in tonight's only NBA playoff game.
Are we off in Sacramento right now?
Probably, yes.
Hey, nice going, Kings. That's why I back you as strong as I do. Very strong performance.
You know, did you watch that game yesterday?
Yeah.
I watched the end of it, and what was the deal? I mean, they imploded at the very end of that game. Were they that bad during the whole series?
They were
just unable to handle the ball.
There were times when they would have a gigantic lead on the Lakers,
right.
And then they would just...
Yeah, that was serious panic yesterday.
Yeah, come right. On, guys.
A little bit of nice words for the good people of Sacramento, if you please.
Amen.
And, you know, maybe too many white guys on that Sacramento team.
Maybe.
Hey, maybe so.
Hey.
Rob, calm down.
All I know is that at one time I looked down and I saw five whiteys. You know, five whiteys against five brothers, NBA. Forget it.
I'm always very relaxed when he starts walking away from the microphone when you start on that subject.
Rob? Oh, Rob walking away?
Yes.
But Rob,
yes.
I know that you... you will find, you will not be happy when I say, when Sacramento had five white guys on the court, like four of them are the European guys.
Like Zlati and all that.
Yes, I know that doesn't really count.
Eastern European?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that doesn't count.
Send them back.
Yeah, send them back.
Another one of his groups. Tough to keep track when one hates so many. So intensely.
Nice to keep it pure.
Send them back.
Finally.
Yeah, money.
Just outside Chicago, in Calumet City, Illinois, a guy got tired of his neighbor driving over his lawn, so he did something about it. He was angry because she had done it again and again.
Again and again.
So he planted a small bomb in his yard.
His seed.
And detonated it as she made the U-turn that lapped into his yard. Police say the woman was not hurt, but that she was disoriented.
Go eat a S sandwich, filthy seed.
That's the man.
The man is facing...
Your pussy smells like garbage.
Now, Pete, settle down. The man's facing weapons charges, and while he's waiting for trial, he's been ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation.
Pickle the Duke, useless bitch.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Go!
Yeah! And we gotta go! Live Las Vegas-style show, Friday night at the Rusty Rudder in Dewey Beach, Delaware.
Is it Dewey Beach or Rehoboth Beach?
Dewey Beach.
Dewey Beach?
Dewey Beach.
Live show Friday from 96 Rock in Ocean City. Next week, a couple of days in New York at WNEW, and we'll be playing Strip Trivia for the first time ever in New York.
Yay.
Tomorrow, email information about how you, listening to us on WNEW, can enter the Strip Trivia game. Tomorrow, we'll start soliciting homos and lesbians for the all-gay Memorial Day at the Miller Lite Dewey Beach Beach House with your host, Homo Joe.
Yes.
7 nights, 8 days at the Miller Lite Dewey Beach House in Dewey Beach, Delaware, May 25th through June 1st. Miller Beer, the great taste of a true Pilsner beer. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, caller 100.
Yeah, you are. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Joe in Wichita.
Joe, you've won the DVD copy of the comedy classic, Some Like It Hot.
Oh,
yes. This is a movie with Marilyn Monroe, Jack Lemmon, and Tony Curtis.
Money.
All right.
Pick up your special edition DVD today at Tower Records, dude. We just hooked you up.
Sounds great.
Okay. Hold on, because you're so money.
All right.
You have no idea what we're doing, do you? I was going to tell you this about that movie. That's strong sauce. That is strong sauce.
Yeah, baby.
Someday everybody will share the jokes that only three share right now on this show.
Only three unemployed men share.
I think I'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Marty.
And now, Robbie, please, bring your Santa Claus out of the air. Just big city. Tyler Moore.
Killing me.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.